Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm Women Liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me.
Nation Radio, and I'm your host, Ron Rick. How's it going tonight, everybody? It's been a crazy day for me, as usual. Nothing changes for me every day, 7 days a week, 365 here, 24 hours a day. I'm always under the pressure, but I can deal with it. And tonight, we're going to go on a really weird topic. A lot of people have heard me talk about this before. I've never really got seriously into it to talk about it, but we're going to do it now. I just think it's something we need to get out with, and what is plea bargaining, the governmental extortion. And that's what it's extortion, all right, guarantee it. It's a bullshit deal. But I have a few people on the board that I'm going to pull in here in a minute once they put up their hands. If I got one there, I'm just going to victimize and drag right in here with me in this mess we're going to get into. Mike, what's going on, Kilroy?
Ron, what you doing? Long time no see.
Oh. Yeah, it's been a while, man. Damn, how you been, bro? Been
did you like that video time. I put up, the court video?
Yes, I did. Duck suit, yes, sir. That's a very good one.
My friend here, Ciccolini, may sound like and look like an idiot, but don't let that fool you. He really is an idiot.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, I used to dig the Marx Brothers. Harpo Marx is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He really was. He was a fun guy. But yeah, man. Yeah, I've gotten into the fact of, you know, I think I need to push out more to the fact of what's going on in our court system now today. I do need to tell everybody, one, I'm not an attorney or a lawyer, and I'm not giving legal advice. This is completely fictional. You know, don't believe me, don't believe nothing I say, but do your own research and you'll find out yourself what the real truth of it is. And I hope I'm giving you all the truth of what it is. I've been in the game for almost over 30 years, and I've seen the antics of the bullshit. And that's exactly what it is. You know what I mean? Plea bargaining. That is a scare tactic of extortion. And, you know, I mean, for those of you that have been to court, you are guilty regardless. You lose. You are going to lose this. You're not going to get out of it. Whether you are right or wrong, doesn't matter. You can be innocent, more innocent than a pope, ha-ha. But it is a very evil system. A very evil game. They're going to get money one way or the other, or they're going to get you and get paid for you. One way or the other, they're going to get money.
And, you know, most prosecutors, you know, oh, they come off as a very nice person, very political, very, you know, nice-looking people and very professional-like, but really they're evil. They're straight-up evil people. There is no such thing as a fair trial. And what I mean by that, when you go to court, and this say it's a traffic ticket. Okay, you've got a traffic ticket. You've, like, 5-10 miles over the limit. And you've got to ask who's the victim. You know, because under common law, there has to be a victim damage for a fraud, okay? Well, they're going to say the state's the victim. But in the real world, if the state was the victim, they'd have to take you to federal court and file a complaint through that court to decide between the state government and you, the person. But that is not how it works. But also, if you want to know how that game works, you've got to figure out the actual plaintiff in the case is the state. The state itself is the one filing the complaint against you, the state. It was also their rule, okay, the speed limit itself. Then you've got the judge, which is also with the state. So it's three against you, the one. Who's going to win this fight? You know, they are. Because there's the complainant. They're the one with the contract in dispute. They are the one pressing the issue against you, and you're also the one making the decision whether you win or lose. So that is, if you think that's fair, well, keep it up. Just keep on trucking and keep giving the money. But it's not fair anymore. It's not. And it's, you know, prosecutorial misconduct is rampant. I mean, it's bad. There are so many young people in prison today because of that bullshit. You know, they're not treated fair. They're not. If you ain't got, even if you have a paid lawyer, it doesn't mean you're going to get far. It just depends. It just depends who could say the better bullshit story. But it's come to the conclusion where the fact is, if per capita we have more people in prisons in this country in local jails than anywhere in the world, where is our freedom at? We don't have that anymore. We have so many damn rules. I mean, spitting on a sidewalk is fine. Breathing air is a fine. Not wearing your seatbelt is a fine. You know, not having insurance in your car is a fine. So you're being extorted in more than one way, okay? It should be your choice how you prefer to travel, whether you want to wear a seatbelt, you want to sit in a bucket seat, or you want to sit on a bench seat, or a baby seat, or a milk crate, or whatever. It should be your choice how you get around. But they always blame it on a safety issue. Let's say it's a safety issue so we can push in this law so we can get some more money out of people. And if you don't do it right, we'll take it away from you. It's like, you know, the big, you know, I say big brother, but I say it's like a evil step parent. Because that's what we get. And it's a tyrannical system. Common law is gone in the courtroom anymore. People don't understand law. We're not born with the knowledge of law. And, like, you know, my friend here said, with somebody put up with a quote where you'd have to be resurrected 3 times and so forth to actually catch every law that's out there. So, you know, it's just too many of them. And it's overwhelming. It's like they want it to be confusing. They want to threaten, intimidate you in court. And that's what they do all the time is they threaten, intimidate people a lot. You know, I hate it. I simply hate it. There's no fair trial. I mean, even in these jury pools, you know, that's not fair anymore. These are supposed to be, you know, your peers. And none of these people in these jury pools are your peers. You know, that's not the way it is. So it's a very unfair system. And like I said, I would say that roughly around, I believe it's 88 to 90% of everybody in prison is in on a plea bargain. And the sad part is when they victimize the younger kids to where, you know, the kid did a little small infraction, they make it a big thing like you just committed a massive criminal enterprise crime, you know. And, you know, the lawyer come out and say, well, you know, man, you know, state's got this and this on you, man, you better take this deal. Because, you know, if not, they're going to take a trial and they're going to get 20 years out of you. But right now, if you take the deal today, we'll get you 2 years probation or SIS, you know, suspension, imposition of sentence. So what's a person going to do? One, you ain't got no money. You're not rich, can't afford a private attorney. You're getting a public pretender, which is usually people out of law school just getting started for themselves. And don't take the job service. Don't give a shit. They don't care. They don't as well. You had legal representation, so they don't get their ass mics. You didn't have legal representation because it's a right. You've got to have legal representation in court. But like I said, it's came to the point now to where majority of most of men in prison, it's between the age of 18 to 35 is the majority of people in prison. And, of course, a lot of black young men are in prison, a lot of them. And it's such an unfair system. It's so unfair and it's pathetic. And, you know, it needs to change. Something needs to change with this. It's like all this marijuana law. I mean, there's a bunch of people in prison for marijuana. These are victimless crimes that kids are in prison for. After being extorted. Are you having a problem there, Mike?
Pardon me?
Are you having a problem? Getting some background noise from you, bro.
I thought the mute was on. I'm sorry, the mute went off. Good, I was filling up a water thing. All right, I'm listening to you. All right, I'll put it back on mute.
You're fine, buddy. Not a problem. But I just, you know, I try to come to this point to where people need to start waking up the fact of what they actually got to face. You are guilty before you're innocent. Innocent until proven guilty is bullshit. That is a lie. That's another part of the extortion, a lie. You know, if you see, like, the lacrosse members, let me bring up that article again, because I can reboot my mind on this one. The lacrosse members have got charged that rape charge with hiring that stripper. Of course, they were later on found not guilty because of the prosecutor. And it was a, you know, malicious prosecution. I'm sorry, I'm getting lost, kids. It's been a long day. But it was an extortion. And, you know, prosecutors, they're out for the vote. They're not out for the care. They want the numbers. And they enjoy running people's lives. They think it's funny. It's like the schoolyard bully. Can never get back and never can win a fight. I see a lot of prosecutors that look really like, you know, they had their ass kicked a lot in school. And I'm sorry for them for that. But we have to come to the conclusion that these courts are not being fair. And people say, you know, man, you're out of your mind, Ron. You don't know what you're talking about. Until they become one of the victims. Until they wind up herself in that situation in these courts of what they're doing. And they just don't, you know, proving them wrong is hard. It's hard to convince somebody that they're wrong. I mean, you have to fight from a lower level, but you can still come up and do it. I've won a lot of different cases against them, and also lawyers. Because the fact of it is, I will tell a lawyer, if they're with a friend of mine, they call and they ask me anything about why it's not working out, this lawyer says that, and they'd ask me to call and talk and play mediator. And since that's still legal, I can still do it for now. But what they do, the lawyers say, well, you know, they didn't tell me this, they didn't tell me that, blah, 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 blah. But under the law, if you look at this, if someone tells you, for this amount of money, I can do this for you, okay? But, okay, so you give them the money, and at the end of it, they can't do what they told you. That is called theft by deception. In other words, you were told something that was not true for money, monetary gain. Lawyers do this all the time because what they do is they'll take your money. Then when it comes down to trial time, you're ready to pick a jury and all this stuff like that. They'll say, well, man, look, here, I just got to talk to the prosecutor. And he said they got this, and this. He's going to make you this offer. You really can't refuse, can't beat it. It's nothing, man, no big deal. You won't get no points in your license or nothing like that. So then you're frozen. What do you do? You know, you're at the court date, you can't do nothing. And, you know, people try to get continuances, and they get them usually, but it's not long enough to prepare for battle. I mean, to prepare a case takes a long time. And it's bullshit. It's simply bullshit. I mean, I don't know how many people here on this show is in favor of Obamacare. I don't know how many people are in favor of auto insurance and strapping a seatbelt on, but if you're in favor of all that, then great. That's your personal opinion. It's not mine, so it's bullshit. I mean, if I want to wear a seatbelt, that should be my choice. That should be my choice. If I were hitting somebody else's car, I should be responsible to take care of the damages. You know, I shouldn't be forced to buy insurance. What if I never have a wreck? I never have ever have one. Do I get that money back? No. I've been robbed. I've been extorted out of money. You know, buying insurance is a smart move. It's a good investment. But when you're being forced into it, that changes the whole dramatics of this. The whole demographic part of it can change the whole thing. And what I'm seeing is you're being extorted. It's like the gangsters used to do to shop owners back in the day. You know, either you pay us this X amount of dollars every month or we're going to burn you down. You know, you need to pay for that protection. You're forced into it. You're scared into paying for it. That's the fear game they play. They scare you to do things you wouldn't normally actually do. And most young people that go to court are nervous. They're more nervous than a whore in a church. I mean, it's insane. But they're victims. They become the victims. And my whole thing, and I question a lot, is who is the criminal here? You know, it don't seem fair at all. And it's not. It's wrong. But you have to call them on it. That's the whole thing. People don't understand. If they fear them so bad, they're scared to open their mouth. They're scared the guy in the black dress is going to hurt them, you know. And they're going to threaten them. They might throw you in jail. But you got to make it your benefit. Because they're throwing you in jail as a corporation, not as a human. Which, you know, takes me back to the birth certificate. And you know, that's what they've done. They pulled this bullshit scam off. Why do you think you paid 35% of your income the income tax? Because you were used for collateral. They turned you into a corporation when you were born. You were sold to the state. Sold. 30 days after you came to life and took your first breath, you were sold to the state 30 days later because your parents didn't claim their product. A marriage license is not what people think it is. A marriage license is a corporate merger. Two corporations merging together. That's what it is. You know, when the woman gets the male's name, that gives him 51% control of the main whole corporation, okay? So these two corporations produce a product, which is a baby, okay? And it's born in water. So they give it a birth certificate. At birth is where a ship docks. It's called a birth, okay? They need a bill of lading, a certificate, birth certificate, okay? That's how they played it off, because you're born in water, which falls under maritime law as a contract. So now you're on the stock market being traded like cattle. I call it human farming, and they do it very well. Like I said, don't take my word from this. Look it up. If you don't, you'll find out. It'll blow your mind once you figure this out. And a lot of people, they question it a lot, and I did too. I thought, you've got to be kidding. This is crazy. This is Orwellian bullshit, you know. I mean, this is insane. But the more I looked, the more I found out it's true. And actually, how I discovered this myself was when I found my birth certificate in my file in my desk. I found my birth certificate, and I was just looking at it, and all of a sudden I see at the very bottom of it, small print, it said American Banknote Company. Well, me being the researcher that I am, I Googled this company, the American Banknote Company, and I caught their phone number, contact information. I called them, and I asked them the questions. What do you folks print? And the nice lady said, well, we print stamps and bonds. I said, what about first tiers? She said, I really can't talk about that. At least she was almost honest about it. You know, where does a banknote company have anything to do with a birth certificate? Now, if that doesn't scare the shit out of you, are completely brain dead. Seriously, brain dead. But that's what it is. It's a bond. And you're born into debt. An average person right now today is $50,000. You're not even alive and you're in debt already. And then when you're dead, you're still in debt. You're still paying your debt tax, taxes, tax that. Everything's taxed to death. I mean, how do we survive anymore? It just amazes me. How do people actually feed themselves anymore? And they keep jacking up the price of taxes, the tax on fuel, tax on tobacco, tax on alcohol, tax on food. It's on and on. It keeps going up. They want more. But eventually, this is going to have to come to an ugly, ugly end. It's got to stop. And the thing is, with them letting these people over, you know, I personally don't have nothing against it. Do whatever, you know, because that's what this country is supposed to be all about, okay? This influx that's going on now, and the government's not actually doing it, but a lot of people say, well, you need to stop it. A lot of people say, no, let them come in. The question is, can you afford it? Can the federal government afford this? You know, and if they can't, why are they not stopping it? Why are they letting us go? Why are they allowing it? Are they wanting something to go? Are we going to have a massive attack in this country? Going to get rid of a bunch of people, bring them all in here, get them in a big pile and kill them all? You know, like shooting fish in a barrel? Is that what we're looking at? So, like I said, my main point here is the court systems nowadays. I mean, I've seen people in jail that didn't have any charges. Not a charge one, just sitting there, waiting for them to think to file charges against them. It's sad, you know. I'm not a person that says go out and break the law. Don't do that. Don't be stupid. Don't fuck with anybody. Don't mess with nobody's stuff. Don't mess with them. Don't hurt nobody. Because them are crimes. Like I said, if there's a victim, damage, or fraud, that's a crime. That is a crime. You have broke the law of the land. Okay? But it's changed. I mean, the law system has changed so much. It's like where if you like don't have a driver's license, which you really don't need to have, you have a constitutional right for freedom of travel. But it's the rule book. It should be called the rule book of life, and it should be a book that has every law, and then you have to go by each and every one of these laws, and that's how you should live. Now, if you're a badass and bad enough to remember all that shit in that book, you are a god. You'd have to be a god. There's no way possible, physical, you could actually do that. But it's an actual crime that they commit of extortion. Now, if you or me did that, we're going to jail for it. If they do it, it's okay. It's okay for me, but it ain't okay for you. And it's bullshit. And more people need to stand up to this fact. Don't be scared of these prosecutors. Don't be scared of these judges. You know, you have to stand up for your rights. Practice your rights. Flex them. Use them. Take the Constitution with you. I mean, you need to read the Constitution. And I push it on people a lot. Read the Constitution. Read it, read it, read it, man. And you just got to stand by it. You know, and like the Miranda rights. When that cop says, you know, you have the right to remain silent, use that one. Use that argument. If a cop comes in front of them, I'm not answering questions, so I have a lawyer present, period. Some that kick you up a lawyer, then you'll talk to them. Otherwise, you're talking shit. Because people self-incriminate. And the bad part of it is you're entering a contract. When you're opening your mouth, you're opening up to a contract to that cop. And everybody don't know that. You know how they did, but these judges were ticket fixing. They used to have a signal game they play. I think it was, where was that hat? Oh, God. I think it was Pittsburgh, I think. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, they were writing, if they write a happy face or a frowning face or just a straight face on the back of a ticket, cop would. And what that would be when the judge seen it, they'd say, well, the person was being an asshole with the frowning face, or they're halfway okay with the straight face, and they're a good person with the smiley face. And the judge would base it on how much fine you would get on that signal on the ticket. Because you don't see the ticket once the cop leaves with it. You don't see nothing. He writes a bunch of notes on the back of that ticket about you, your personal character, what you said, and everything. You don't see that. And you'll never see it. You know, but that's the little police report type system. You know, you say, well, John Doe, I asked him a question if he was, did he know why I pulled him over? And he said, I might have been speed limit or I might have crossed the yellow line. Well, they're going to take that as you're admitting to a crime, okay? Just like a DUI. If you are drinking, okay, and you've blown that machine, you just admitted that you're guilty of the crime. You cannot fight it. I mean, some have, but not very many successful wins in this. But it's in a trap game. You know, the roadblocks, all that crazy shit. And now we got the Border Patrol 100 miles inland. Are you a U.S. citizen? You know, first thing I'm going to tell them, fuck no, I'm not a U.S. citizen. I pledge allegiance to a government, you know, that's corporate government. I'm an American. I pledge allegiance to the people of the land. That's who I pledge my allegiance to. But everybody goes, you know, yeah, the majority of people ask that question. Just out of, you know, fun, I ask people in the public, are you a U.S. citizen? Well, yes, I am. So they don't know. They don't know what they're actually saying. Pledge allegiance to the flag. You know, that's always under controversy now anymore. I think that actually started in the early part of 2000 itself when they were starting to say they don't want to allow the pledge allegiance in the schools no more and all this. Of course not. But, yeah, it's actual, you know, the government, the United States of America, is a corporation. It is not what you think it is. You need to look up the Act of 1871. That's when they did it. Look up the Act of 1871, and that'll pretty well explain to you. You can go into archives of the Library of Congress and see this. You know, it's there. So, yeah, it's not we the people no more. You know, that changed the whole thing. We the people is no more. It is now the corporation that runs it all. The courts, everything, from the fuel, the food, everything you do every day, they run it. They are the boss of all of it. There's a department for everything in the planet, on everything. But it just seems here where where the government seems to be getting either more scared or becoming less powerful, like they used to be, because the information network with the internet now has given people a lot of options on taking a look. It's making deep thinkers out of a lot of people. And a lot of people are waking up to what's going on. They're actually waking up to see what is happening in their country right now today. You know, before, I remember growing up as a kid, when I was a kid growing up, the first remote control TV I think I seen, I was 8 or 9 years old. I used to have to turn the knob for my dad all the time to change channels. And there wasn't many channels like it is today either. But, yeah, that was something, you know, looking back at the past and how, of course, the courts were a little more fair back then. They weren't the way they were today. Today, it's a money-hungry, money-snatching business. That's what it's about, money. It ain't about being fair. It ain't about protecting the public. It's about money. Because here's the deal. If you are speeding and you're a criminal, you know, and they're trying to protect the public, what are they doing for you? They're, you know, they can force you to go to a driving school. You know, that don't make no sense either. That ain't going to help you none. It's too late. You done did the crime. But there's no victim, there's no damage, no fraud, but it's still a crime because that's the way they make money. Every time they refer you to a service or something like that, they make a cut of the action. They send you the safe top or alcohol treatment, whatever, like, they get a cut of the money. What you pay them, they get a cut of it. You know, like anger management now, that's another one. They use the anger management, so you have to go to anger management because you got pissed off. You know. So you should have to go to an optometrist when you look at somebody the wrong way when they charge you with that. Eyeballing somebody is now sexual harassment. You know, and that, you know, think about the thought police. If this is a real thing, too, the thought police, if you're thinking about doing a crime, you're going to go to jail for it, and you didn't fucking do it yet, that's how it seems to be. It's like we work with the thought police. Don't even think about it. Just go ahead and convict me of this just because I thought about it, you know. Well, shit, you know, I feel like going 3 miles over smoothly, but I just didn't want to do it. I just didn't do it. And all of a sudden, here comes your knocker. You thought about going 3 miles over speed limit. Here's your infraction. Pay this amount of money to us. We'll extort you because you stopped this. So, what's next? What are we going to face next in this country? It's getting into insane anymore. I mean, is it me? I ask that question. Like, am I losing my mind? Or is this really happening? I mean, now the media, the mass media, you know, the whatever you want to call them, they're starting to get a little sloppy. They're starting to say things that, you know, they don't want people to hear. That kind of got me wondering just a little bit. So, I don't know. It's crazy. But, you know, a lot of people every day are falsely accused. Falsely accused. They are tricked into pleading guilty because of fear. Because of fear. The people that we elect in this office to protect us, to help us prosper in this life, and live an easier life are criminals. Criminals. You got to face the fact. Look at it, you know. You call me crazy, call me whatever you want. It don't matter. And for those who've never had problems with the law, that's great. You know, really. I don't wish it on anybody, but when you do, when it comes down to it, you're going to get mad and frustrated of it. You know, why am I being, why do I have to pay all this money for just going this amount of miles on the road or, you know, because I went over a little line, there was nobody hurt, nothing ever happened. And it's costing me money. I just read a story on a ticket here close to me. A lady got a 5 mile over speed limit ticket in the town, and it cost her $180 fine. $180 for going 5 miles over speed limit and didn't hurt a soul. Smoking a joint is a big fine, bunch of money. They give you the money, they throw you right back out to do it again. And then they played the other game with the probation department bullshit. You know, Jimmy got caught smoking a joint in school. He's got 5 years probation. And what the real evil part of this they can do is if you get caught doing something wrong again, Jimmy, we can bring your case back to the original beginning of it and send you to prison for it. If you don't go by this way, we want you to do it. And they want that. Because as soon as you go to jail, then you became captive audience. That's why the prison is so full. Everybody goes, well, you know, the government pays the state, blah, blah. Well, yes, they do. They do. They do. But also, these assholes are making dividends off of your corporation because you're on the stock market. You are traded in the stock market. I know you think that's crazy, but look it up, too, and see what you got crazy about that one. Your birth certificate is a stock bond. You're a piece of stock, like livestock. You're an asset, a living, breathing asset. And that's what it is. We were used for collateral for a loan. Our corporation, us, is owned by somebody else, which is usually the state. The state is the one that owns us, they say. But that's, you know, the sad part about it. We, the people, are is no more. You don't live in a free country. You don't live in a free society. You think you do. You've been bullshit enough. You bit the hook and swallowed it. Well, that's your own fault. Until you take a look at the actual thing, what's going on, you know, what they're doing. They're playing with us. They want to play with us. But now what is the lower level courts have figured all this out, how to pull these scams off. And it's every day. I mean, how many courthouses do you know they infect every day? Especially in traffic courts, massive. Matter of fact, what is it? Is it Pittsburgh that has the traffic police or the parking police? You know, they get parking war show or whatever that is. That's some insane shit. You know what I mean? Well, you got two parking tickets, so you need $800, you need insurance, you need this, you need that, da-da-da-da. You got to stand all line today to get your shit. So it's... It's crazy. Well, I see the trolls are showing up tonight. Yeah, how's it going, trolls? Nice to see you on here, as usual. Chatbot? No, I don't think it's on. I'm going to turn it on. There it is. It's on now. No, it's off. Until somebody gets stupid. But, yeah, it's not looking good for society. I mean, if you're working a regular job, you're in trouble. Anyway, I'm going to go back on the board here and see who we got sitting here who wants to talk with me about this issue. Let's see. Let's check this guy out here, the stranger. All right. How's it going, the stranger? What's on your mind?
Yeah, Ron, I want to tell you a story involving something extraordinary.
What's that?
Ron, I want to tell you a story involving the government extortion.
I can't make out a word you're saying.
Yeah, you're speaking too far away from the microphone. Speak closer and a little bit louder so we can hear you.
Yes. Ron?
There we go.
Yes.
I want to tell you a story involving the government extorting.
Okay.
So I was in court for a crime, which I will not mention. Everything was going fine. I was winning the case until the judge starts having an evil look on his face and says, "Hey, junkie, show me your boobies or you're arrested." It was so traumatizing, Ron. I'm just a 13-year-old girl and I was threatened. I mean, Ron, I almost microwaved the baby. The baby, Ron, he liked the Wiggles and Teletubbies and SpongeBob. SpongeBob!
Did you put it on preheat? Was your preheat trying to defrost the baby first?
Were you using any seasoning?
Yes. That has a lot of structure on your case.
Yeah, W.C. Fields knew the best way to do that. If I were you, I'd look up to how W.C. Fields, how he liked his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the salt, pepper, bacon, and olive oil. Very.
Yeah, they're out there, aren't they? Oh, my God.
That's my little troll girlfriend there. So.
Yeah.
Look, Jerry, we got to put you back in your cage, so you take care and just sit there, listen, and learn something with tonight. Okay. All right, let's look who we got. It's Firefox News Online with George Sinzer. What's going on, George? Get your phone call.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Trollville, where every time they come out, it's anybody's guess as to what kind of asshole, moron, or just dumb fucking idiot we'll call next.
Exactly.
You know, Ron, I gotta say, without fear of contradiction, she was the most entertaining troll I've ever heard. She practically swallowed her phone. I mean, did you listen to the way she was talking? She damn near swallowed the phone.
She could have been deep throating her microphone, maybe. I couldn't
probably understand
it very good. But.
I mean, even the troll that I kicked out of my chat room before.
I kicked one out of the wall.
Was in yours tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kicked one already earlier.
But you've got a whole list of guests in the chat in your chat room.
Yeah.
Wonder where the next troll call will be.
Exactly.
Will it be?
I hope they caught on to what the topic is tonight. You know, they need to learn about court. You know, they need to study, do their research on this. I mean, plea bargaining is a crime.
Oh, that
it
troll,
should be outlawed.
The Iggy Pig is back.
Well, that's cool. I don't see what they get off on this shit by being trolled. I mean, it doesn't bother.
They just want to have their 15 seconds of fame. I guess mommy and daddy didn't pay them enough attention when they were shitting in their diapers, so obviously.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
You know.
All right. Sad. I don't know, at least they got their fauna for you.
It's back and it leaves. It doesn't know how to. It's playing.
Yeah, it's and run.
Text and run.
Ah, just don't let him do it. I don't care. I'm not going to kick him. I'll let him play all night long. They're wasting their own time with me. I said I don't want that shit get me.
Yeah, I just think that they're gonna get under my skin with the bullshit. I mean,
didn't you call Next George? Aren't you the asshole? I think you are. He's coming for you, George. Can you feel him?
Boy,
they really want me, don't they, Bron?
Yeah.
They can all go fuck themselves with a 12 foot pole. They probably enjoy it, too.
I got a better one. I think they should shove barbed wire up their asshole. That's my personal opinion. You know, go screw yourself with a barbed wire fence, buddy.
That's kind of old school, ain't it, though, their partner?
Yes, that is an old one, yeah. Old but classic and good and effective.
Yeah. I guess the classics do work well.
Why, sure. Absolutely. But yeah, I like how they jump in out of the chat room. It's funny. Dark crayon colored people. That's a neat one. That's authentic. That's a good one to think of. Good name. Not that I really.
Well, here's the name that fake Iggy is attached to, just for shits and giggles, in case anybody wants to know. That is, if I can get my chat back here. There we go. That's the actual name of the person it's attached to.
Who the hell is that?
The fake Iggy mom that comes in.
Yeah, I got
what name is it?
How do you say that?
Abiyomi Kwais.
It's probably another fake name.
Like
well, that's
if
the name that's registered.
Okay.
Oh, it's a TRS regular?
Irregular. okay. Jesus. I bet you that TRS. I've went over a few times. I got kicked out of there. They kicked me. I didn't say a word. Didn't say shit. And all of a sudden, the guy just kicked me. I don't know why. Okay, whatever, man. Knock yourself out. I mean, I won't come to your show. I won't waste the time. You know, but hey, each his own. All right, what kind of dialect is that writing there? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
That Arabic, Chinese, and Japanese, and Korean mix?
What are you guys looking at? I don't see any of that.
Dark crayon there.
Oh, hold on. Crayon. Let me go over. Oh, I see it. All right. I was in the wrong chat room. I was in George's old room. That's a combination of a bunch of stuff.
When the show is over, Mike, you should just...
Yeah, I just got out of it. I just closed it.
And if you're coming over here, you may as well just close up that room there.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. That room is great. Nobody there. George's not in this room anymore.
Yeah,
sure,
no.
The stereo's still on.
The stereo's still playing.
But did you at least take out garbage, Mike? I mean, before you left. I mean, really?
No. There wasn't any garbage left. They were all. I think they're all coming over here now.
Is that what it is?
Turn the damn light off and walk out of the room, dude. I'm glad you're here to learn and listen. You know, listen, children. Do not plea bargain with the prosecutor. Always make them. You know, get out there and tell them you got to work for this shit to get me convicted, you son of a bitch. And you call them a motherfucker or anything else you want to. And then they say, well, you're saying slurs to me. You say, no, it's my First Amendment right, fuck. Matter of fact, I'm going to find a link here that you guys are going to love when I pop this up. It's a funny one, and it's actually a real court deal, so I got to find it. So hang with me for a second, I'll get right back with you.
Yeah, I'm doing some research myself here, looking up some of these plea bargaining deals I put in scams to see if any newspapers actually covered any articles where they're exposing it as a game. And there's some interesting stuff in here, but I don't know.
What do you mean, on plea bargaining?
I found something. You know, one thing you didn't cover. I mean, the court system is an industry by itself.
Yes.
And there are satellite industries.
Of course it is.
There are satellite industries that have popped up that are all making their money off of it, that actually thrive and survive because of the courts. And that opens up the door for all sorts of people that were honest citizens, including judges, to become criminals themselves. Like, do you remember the scandal from 2008? Remember that scandal right there?
Mm-hmm.
Where two judges were in cahoots. They were working with some developer that had that built jails, and these two judges were working with them. Remember in Pennsylvania?
Right.
And they were imposing harsh sentences on little kids.
To increase
the number of inmates.
Right.
All for money.
Kid missed like 4 or 5 days school and got like 8 months in that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were getting unbelievable.
Here's the problem. I won a lot of cases this week because they want to get rid of me. You know, they don't want me there to reveal their bullshit scam.
Right.
All of them like, fuck you. You think you're better than me? I got some bad news for you sons of bitches. You know, I don't fuck with them. I don't fear them at all. You know.
Now, another big scam that's also another satellite industry that's unbelievable, and it's Florida is one of the big culprits in it, and here's a report on it, is the child care thing with the Child Protective Services that the states have set up. And again, you know who's fueling all that? Federal money. Just like with the Common Core and everything else, the federal money gives and it creates a satellite industry that the courts are all involved with.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly. Take a look at that video I popped up there in the chat room. Take a look at that video. It's one of the best. It's one of my favorite YouTube videos ever. It's an excellent video.
You're not respecting me. Okay. Respect goes both ways. You're just a woman with a robe on. You're a woman, human being, just like I am, okay? All that criminal spitting out his mouth, he's a rogue, too.
Do you really think it's appropriate to cuss here in court?
Do you think it's appropriate to sentence me under this racial program you got going here and you call justice? Justice. Yeah, okay, justice.
Well, all the evidence shows that you deliberately...
Yeah, okay. I know.
The word is word that you deliberately were hawking up.
Bullshit. I didn't hawk up no saliva, okay? That's bullshit, and you're going to believe those lies. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't hawk up no saliva. You're going to believe a lie because they're wearing uniform. Just like they beat Richard.
Like such a nice
they beat Richard. Did they beat Richards in February? That rogue. Oh, and you don't know who Richards is, huh? February 15th, that rogue-ass Diaz beat the man, fractured his jaw, put him in the hospital on life support. You remember that? So they doing, he's doing such a good job, isn't he? Diaz wearing a uniform, right? Rogue-ass deputy.
Look at me.
It's like Easter. You ain't got to scream at me. You going to raise your voice at me?
Oh, my God.
You raise your voice to me, I raise my voice to you. You just in the road.
I appreciate Mr.
Gaines
making my point.
You punk.
Very well received.
Maggot mother.
I think
he's pissed.
Just a little bit, Mike.
You'll be a after I get sent it.
I think Mr. Gaines has forfeited.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. You punk.
I'm talking.
Two deputies coming in on him. Court officers.
Yeah, you're a tough
one. He's a magic punk. Should have died. He's a baby. Yeah. Motherfucker. Magic.
Anytime, Mr. Gaines.
Shut up, punk. He's a magic. Should have died. He's a baby. Still
born. Okay.
Yeah, it was entertaining, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Could you hear it on this?
Yeah, could you? I heard some of it.
All right.
Yeah. But I've seen that one. That's what, you know, people don't stand up like that in court. They just don't. They're scared of them. And this guy apparently wasn't. That's good. I like to see that.
You know, they took him away, and two of them took him away.
Well, sure, yeah. But he, you know, said he practiced his First Amendment rights.
No, I know, but I'm sure knowing how the system works, he probably slipped on his way because they went off on the floor and he slipped on his way to the cell when they were bringing him back there. Shit happens.
Who knows? Exactly. You're dealing with a criminal cartel. They'll do whatever they want to you when they want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, but it's kind of the point with now, you know, I see people leaving courtrooms matter now a lot more lately. You know what I mean? And I hear people saying, well, you know, I can't even afford this. I mean, I'm barely surviving now. You know, I got TCFS up my ass. I got this. I got to go do this program. I got to do this. Got to go to work. It's getting to where, you know, I tell you what, you see a lot nowadays, warrants. A lot of people don't ever show up to court no more. You know, one can't afford it. And well, he's sitting above the law. That's a good fucking asshole. You shouldn't have brought the law. Well, where's the crime? See, that's where people don't know how to answer that question. You know, I mean, if I ever had something against, whenever I've had something against me, traffic ticket, what have you, the first thing I go for is, you know, they ask me, well, what do you plead? I don't. I'm very stern about that. I don't plead. I said, I demand a motion. He said, well, I don't care what you demand, Mr. Rack. Well, see it as you be, but I object. I object to this. First off, who's the funding party and which contract's in dispute? First, I had one of those two things. Who isn't, you know, say, well, in the state? And I say, well, is this considered a crime or is this civil? Well, it's a crime. Well, how can it be a crime if there's no complaining party? There's no victim damage or fraud. And then the other one I come up with is, you know, I question them too. I ask the prosecutor, who do you work for? They'll say, well, the state of whatever. And then I ask the judge, who do you work for? The state of whatever. So they're both on the same team. And I asked the final capper off, I asked them, are you members of the Bar Association? And they say, yes. Well, that means you're club members then, too. That's conflict of interest by itself. So I have five different factors, five different points to show you're the same people, and you. This is conflict of interest. I claim conflict of interest. This is a set-up gig. It's a setup. It's fraudulent, and I just proved it. I just proved fraud.
Yeah, but Ron, now that might work, and it might not work. You got to remember, yes, they're both working for the same side. The problem is, you pointed out to them that judge can throw a contempt of court charge on you.
How can you be contempt of court? I'm not challenging the court. I'm just facing, showing the facts of the question.
I'm asking questions that implicate yourself in this. I'm not doing it. They're doing it themselves. They're the one admitting to the wrongdoing. A state cannot be the complainants. You understand? If they are, if the state's filing a complaint, they got to make a complaint through the federal court system. You see what I mean? Here's what I'm saying, George. You have one, the state's the one filing a complaint. The state is also the prosecutor. The state's also the judge and attorney. Now, how could you win that? You have 3-1. The judge is supposed to be partial. He's not supposed to have no involvement in nothing. Okay, and they play that game. But in reality, you know, okay, so let's get back to the plea bargain game again, okay? Here's what I'm saying. When the plea bargain comes, the state was, here's what the state wants, here's their remedy. Well, we want to give them probation because they're confident guilty plea. But if not, he wants to go to trial, so since he wants to go to trial, that pisses me off, so I want 20 years. You see what I mean? How's that fair? Because they have to take time out of their life to go to trial to prove this wrong, that this person did something actually wrong. And then I'm going back to the Constitution, where the Constitution, in order for it to be a crime, according to the Constitution, there has to be a victim, damage, or fraud. In the Constitution, this also is another guarantee. There is two jurisdictions. That's it. There ain't no more. There's no circuit court. There's no statutory law. There's no legislative law. None of that. The Constitution shows that there's two jurisdictions. One is common law. Two is maritime law. That's it. No more. Military tribunal law. That's what it is. Same thing as maritime. Victim, damage, fraud, or a contract in dispute. Okay? That is what the Constitution is. That's what it's in there for, the reason to protect us from this. From what's going on right now, it's supposed to be protecting us, and it's doing a piss poor job of it. We're not protected anymore. See what I mean? I mean, if you're a victim, damage, or fraud, what I'm saying, if you hurt somebody or steal somebody's stuff or you lie to somebody, you've committed a crime. That is a crime, right? But, you know,
right.
Going over speed limit, I got one for you guys, like a fishing license. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the state I live in, it's a $500 fine and they seize your shit. Fishing poles, tackle, truck, boat, whatever. Now, how does that fare? Because you're just fishing. See what I mean? That kind of shit. That's what I'm talking about. No. Smoking a marijuana cigarette. Drinking beer in the public. And if you ain't hurt nobody, You know, it's the one that really kills me. And, you know, I don't promote drinking and driving. I don't. That is stupid and retarded. You know, a lot of people do it. But here's the problem with that one, too. Well, if it's so bad, why do you let people sell the shit? See what I mean? Why is prohibition still going? And I've seen cops drunk. You know, I've seen down at the park drinking. You know, like, they have these big parties every year. You know, their whatever year parties, Christmas parties, shit like that. And here these are officers all, and they're getting drunker than fuck Peter Brown and driving home. And it's okay. See what I mean? It's kind of hypocritical when you really look at it. But that's what we deal with all the time. But I don't promote nobody to hurt anybody. I don't promote anybody to steal anybody's stuff or try to be a slick willy and pull some bullshit on them, you know. I just don't, that's not right. That is a crime, and it is against law. But there's just so many laws out there. I mean, so many. Like the IRS law. That's not in the Constitution. There is no IRS law. It don't exist. And yeah, the Constitution again there. Let's bring it in on that one. You're not to be taxed on the labor of your back. Of your labor. You're not to be taxed for the labor you've done. You know, they want to outlaw the bartering system. You guys ever hear that one? Bartering, trading shit with each other. I mean, I've seen it where they got to the point where they wanted to actually, this is a real good one. They got shot down pretty quick. They were trying to pass a bill in a local area or whatever ordinance they're trying to pass that they can come out and put a meter on a privately owned well and charge you money for the water you suck out of the fucking ground. Nah, nice, huh?
Yeah, that would work. I could see that.
Well, if those are right.
Jesus Christ. Are they out of their minds?
Right?
Yeah.
But they do that shit. We got a little subdivision down the road here that's got a well share system down, like 2 or 3 houses per well. The county's trying to go in and out and put a water system in and charge them. Not only for the water, they're also in charge for the waste that goes in their own personal septic tanks. You know, you're running the water. You know, it just. In other words, what these people are telling you, you're too fucking stupid to survive and live with them. That's what they're telling you. You are plainly too fucking dumb. You have to be taught, handheld, and walk through every fucking thing in life by them, because they know more than you. I mean.
I just found a PDF file. It was a study that was done regarding, and this is news to me, apparently El Paso County in Texas in the 1970s, they experimented with, I don't even know if they did it or if it's still in force, with abolishing all plea deals, plea bargaining. And I was reading through this, and it's interesting. It says that there are two schools of thought. And that they feel that even if the caseloads are lessened, that they'll still continue to do the plea bargaining. And also, even if there's a moratorium, you know, where they do away with it, they feel that it'll still go on behind everyone's back, even though it's going to be illegal, that they'll still do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting PDF file. I don't know if you might want to save that and take a look through it. That was a good one. But there's, if you type in abolition, let me find it. Abolition of plea bargaining and do a Google search, quite a bit comes up. They said that even in Michigan, they were talking about doing away with plea bargaining for gun crimes, sentencing was regarding guns, which is insane. So in other words, they're going to target. They were talking about actually, they were going after mandatory sentencing and the abolition of plea bargaining, the Michigan felony firearm statute. Oh, my God. So they felt that we're not going to give any more plea bargains for this type of law. Now they're going to use their discretion and target specific laws. Oh, it doesn't matter. If you get arrested for this, you don't have a chance. We're going to fry you.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so
you see what I mean?
That's even, like, you got to be kidding me. I hope they didn't do this. I mean, I wasn't even aware of it. Here's the link to the one where they're discussing it about Michigan.
Mm-hmm. But that's how this is. It's a corporate-decided system. We live by corporate rules, man.
It's a whole nother industry, and if you get sucked into it, God help you.
That's right.
If you don't have
money to buy yourself
out of it, you're part of that machine. Now you're making money for. No matter what machine you get into, whether it's medical and you get sucked into a hospital, you're making money for the doctors. You're part of that machine now. They own your ass.
Right, but the court system is a full control game.
Yeah, the courts. There's another machine.
Mm-hmm. That's right. People.
You have children. You better be afraid of the Child Protective Services. There's another machine, a satellite industry.
Right. Well, that there again too is another one that is because you're a corporation, you're a ward of the state. So you have no protection from these people. The only way possible to protect yourself from these people is. Send your birth certificate back to the county you was born in, back to the recorder's office, and send in your social security card. Send it back. Of course, but here's where that's the other part of the blackmail game comes into that one, is if you do that, you'll be an American, all right. You won't be a U.S. citizen, but you can't get no benefits. Can't get a job, and that's that. You know what I mean? I do know people that have done that. They've actually done it, and they did it very well. They're still working. They don't have to pay no taxes or nothing. So, but a lot of people don't know that. But, you know, oh my God, I can't do that. You know, I'll get in trouble. Maybe. But it, you won't get in trouble because the simple fact is you pretty well stand up your rights. You know, a lot of people need to read the Constitution, man. The Constitution is an insurance policy for everybody. But people don't know how to use it. They're scared of it. Oh, it takes too much time. There's so much shit. I don't understand half the words. You know, I can't Google it. But that's what it is. People are too lazy to look at it. You know? And it's sad. Like I said, you know, and if you ever notice nowadays, when you see a new movie, you rent a movie or whatever, and it discusses, you know, piracy or copyright infringement is not a victimless crime. There's a victim.
Yeah.
You know, now that kind of shit, yeah, well. Yeah, they're money. The money's the victim.
Now, here's an article from 2012 that, from a law school, Catholic School of Law, where they're talking about, they're admitting that it's coercive, like coercive plea bargaining, the unrecognized scourge of the justice system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is another very interesting PDF file that goes into depth here. So these people are being objective about it as they're approaching this and looking at it. Because it's a law school that's looking at it, you know what I mean, doing this paper on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're documenting the flaws that are in the system. Plea
mm-hmm.
bargaining through the lens of game theory.
Mm-hmm.
It is a game. They've created a game.
Yeah, and I think it's fun. There's no way to win. No way to win.
No. This is why they got paralegals that can pour through those books to find little loopholes and angles or other cases
mm-hmm.
that they can reference to get what they want. And because there's so much of it out there, if they look hard enough, they're going to find an angle or something give them a way out.
No. Mike, man, you're missing the whole concept of what I'm telling you. You're missing it. You're missing one
piece. No, I can see it. It is a game. It all comes down to money.
They don't have to use secretaries. They don't have to use paralegals. Prosecutors don't have to use none of them people. That's what they do. That's why they do the plea bargain thing, so they don't have to do that. It's cheaper to fuck somebody than it is to do the work to fight them.
But to pay the money for a lawyer to get you out of it, you've got to have...
I'm not talking about... I'm not talking about defense lawyers. I'm talking about prosecutors.
Yeah.
They don't have to do that much work to get what they want out of it. You have to...
Right.
Pump out a bunch
you,
of money.
You have to pump the money,
order.
And if you don't have
right.
have the money, you're screwed. What choice do you have?
Right, and then you got to find a lawyer that's not a pussy that's going
right.
to fight him. But here's the problem. They can't fight him that hard. They can't do
yep.
it because we're all club members. They're
yep.
members of the Bar Association, and your fucking defense attorney is an officer of the court. So he's right so there again. Now we have four against one. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These motherfuckers playing it. Now this is what I've done. I have got two attorneys in my years stripped, rape stripped empty, because I filed charges against them for theft by deception. You understand? And just the fact that they were ever charged with this, ever charged, that's how they lost their bar. That's how they lost their jobs. I ruined their careers because they asked for it, and I gave it to them. They thought I was bullshit. But the thing about it was I didn't go through the court system they were at. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I went to the Capitol. I went to the Attorney General's office, Department of Justice. I went way above them. You know what I mean? And I was right. I was raising hell. I was raising shit to the media. You know what I mean? All kinds of shit. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I'm going to die eventually one day. Anyway, just if I die tomorrow. If I die today, die tomorrow, so what? I don't care. So I'm making my point. I mean, and there's all these people that have stood up to them over the years that came up missing and dead, you know? So, that's what I'm saying, man. It's not a fair shake. You know, kids and children is the bad part, like I said.
these young kids, man, they pull in the court system, they scare the living shit out of them and get them to say whatever they want to say. That's like child family services. The little kid is supposedly a victim on accusation, and it gets the kid all mentally locked into remembering the shit that, yes, he touched me. You know what I mean? And we're seeing more of that now where people are winding up getting out of jail because they're finding out this bullshit story. Because what happens is these kids grow up and they find out this is the bullshit. They didn't know what they were doing back then. They had no knowledge of it. You know what I mean? And they grow up and they find out, what the fuck did I do? Well, it never really happened. You know what I mean? But then once the person is in jail, even if the person does come up and confess the fact it was a lie, that doesn't mean you're getting out of jail. You're still there. You know what I mean? You got to go through all kinds of bullshit to get out of jail. But they don't want you out of jail. They want you in jail. And like I said, if this is such a free fucking country, why in the fuck do we have more people in prison anywhere on the planet? And I mean massively amount of people in prison compared to anywhere else on the planet. I mean, I should have pulled that chart up on that, what the actual number of people in prison are in the United States. It's an ugly number. And like I said, the average people in jail are males, are usually 18 to 35, and majority of them are black people in prison. You know? I'm talking about people who never had opportunities for anything. The educational system is fucked. You're not taught right from wrong. You don't know what's right or wrong anymore. There's so much shit that's wrong, there's nothing really right no more. Nowhere. Ever. You know, when you get in your car, man?
Yeah.
And if you didn't shut the door at the right amount of pressure and the right amount of inches against pressure to make that latch right, you broke the law. You know what I mean? It's a vicious cycle. Vicious cycle. And, you know, you get put in jail and you get all the pressure, you get all the time to think, and all that stuff. You got to threaten their money. You got to straight up threaten their money. I don't care. I'll fight them tooth and nail. I've done it many, many times. You know, I've had it where assistant or associate assistant prosecutors have left the room and went after a boss to deal with me, you know, because they can't deal. They can't do me. They can't dare. One, they're not that experienced a lawyer anyway. You know what I'm saying? If they're a real good experienced lawyer, they'll have their own practice. You know what I mean? But, you know, I love them ones that really have a heart on. Most prosecutors have an actual heart on. They want to fuck you as fast as they can and steal money from you. And that makes them a criminal. You know, I've asked prosecutors, I mean, honestly, do you sleep at night well, man, knowing you're a criminal? I wouldn't want to be a prosecutor. I'd be scared that some motherfucker kill me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Do you imagine some motherfucker under a lot of pressure snapping on you?
Yeah, you don't know. There's
a lot of prosecutors shot and killed, you know, over that shit. Any job I'd want. Not at all. I mean, because some of them get straight up ignorant people and piss them off. They do it deliberately. Deliberately. Like a schoolyard bully. That's what they are. Bullies. So, you know, that's why I got this topic going on. That's what it's all about. We the people need to stand up for we the people. This has got to come to an end eventually. I mean, these prisons are overcrowded, overpopulated. You know, and they want to build more prisons. They don't want to let nobody out. They just want to build more prisons. The more you there's another, let's go to another point to this on it. On prison systems, okay? What a deal. You got a whole building full of slave workers, slave labor, like a third world country, pay them next to nothing and work them like Hebrew slaves. Think about it. Prison industry's big shit, man.
Yep.
They manufacture it. You know the old saying, well, you keep fucking up, you're going to wind up making license plates. You know, well, guess what? They do make license plates.
Yeah, I know.
They have cigarette factories. They make office furniture. They make combat boots. They make road signs. They make road rails. All kinds of shit.
And there have been all sorts of lawsuits about that, and the federal government says they're exempt because the private sector says they're competing with them. They're competing with the private sector.
They are.
And
sure
it's subsidized,
are.
And how can the private sector compete with them? They don't care. The government says, no, you can't
right.
compete. You can't
right.
say that. You can't sue,
right.
nothing.
It's like the one funny part was where I caught a story, I think it was 60 Minutes or Frontline, one of the two,
where the state of Florida, and a lot of states have these call centers that inmates work in that handle medical bills. They handle tourism phone soliciting systems. You know, where you'll have somebody talk, well, how would you like a free trip to Florida or a free trip to Branson or a free trip to New York? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's usually the person on the other end of the phone is an inmate talking to you. And they pay them a little bit of money, what, a quarter, 40 cents an hour, some crazy shit like that. Not much, you know. So that's slave labor. Because that's what happens is now the corporation is in control. The state is in control of the corporation now. You know what I mean? The word of the state. They have control
Ron, let me pose a question to you then, my friend. I heard you say just a moment ago something about opening more prisons. Why do they need to open any more prisons? They closed Alcatraz, and they could refurbish that sumbitch and reopen it. In fact, enlarge it. But you know what? They're not going to do that.
No. No.
The reason they're not going to do that, and notice also that violent offenders are being let go. They're being released.
Yep, sometimes.
They're letting go most of the criminals that have been in jail for a long time and setting them on their way. They're not trying to keep them in jail. They're trying to get rid of them so that they can go back out into the population. And then what the government does, say it's a corporation. What does the board of directors do? They change the rules to suit their purposes. Government has a board of directors. It's called the Congress and the Senate. Well, guess what?
Right.
That board of directors will decide at some point that these inmates serve their time. They have paid their debt to society, so now we will reward them with being able to vote. Though they have a felony conviction, that will no longer be a factor. And who do you think an action like that might benefit? The liberal side of the coin.
Sure.
They're the ones that'll do it in a New York minute. They haven't done it yet, but give them time, they will.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring a link up here in a minute for you guys. This thing here, they got their own YouTube channel. Check this out. I want you guys to see this, and this will get to the point I'm explaining about the private prison system. This is on the CCA, okay? And they're like, they're a wonderful thing, a beautiful, wonderful thing. Watch one of their videos on their channel there on that. Yeah. It's an advertisement. It's an ad on YouTube. Here's another one. Hold on. Okay, there's two different video clips. I can hook up my audio up for this. If one of you guys could play it, that'd be cool. Which would be the bottom point. That'd be up there.
The bottom one?
Yeah, if you could play that and you can make it here, that'd be a good one.
In 1970 and 2005, the U.S.'s prison population grew by a massive 700%. far outpacing both population growth and crime rates. Today, it's got to the stage where America is home to 5% of the world's population. That's a quarter of the world's prisoners. And not only does America have the highest imprisonment rate of any country in the entire world, but it also has the highest rate of youth incarceration.
Can you hear it all right?
30,000 juveniles
yeah,
in the U.S. every year, and on any given day, there are more than 70,000 youth in detention. But the biggest winners of this mass incarceration haven't been the American public, but the private prison companies who are making giant profits out of people being in jail. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, in 2010, the two largest prison companies alone received nearly $3 billion in revenue, while their top executives each received annual compensation packages worth more than $3 million. Private prisons didn't really exist before the early 1980s, when U.S. states and the federal government needed a solution to the overcrowding in public prisons. But between 1990 and 2009, the number of people in private prisons increased by a massive 1,600%. And the business model of these private prison companies essentially depends on locking more and more people up. The biggest of the U.S.'s private prison companies is the Corrections Corporation of America, otherwise known as the CCA. In its 2010 annual report to shareholders, the CCA stated the demand for facilities and services could be adversely affected by the relaxation of enforcement efforts, leniency in conviction or parole standards and sentencing practices, or through the decriminalization of certain activities that are currently prescribed by our criminal laws. The CCA seems to be particularly concerned about the decriminalization of drug use and any potential changes to immigration laws. For instance, any changes with respect to drugs and controlled substances or illegal immigration could affect the number of persons arrested, convicted, and sentenced, thereby potentially reducing demand for correctional facilities to house them. Because of these concerns, private prison companies spend a lot of money on lobbying politicians. According to analysis by the Associated Press, between 2002 and 2012, the CCA, along with the US's second and third largest private prison companies, Geo Group Inc. and Management and Training Corporation, otherwise known as MTC, spent around $45 million on lobbying state and federal governments between them. And in addition to lobbying, these three companies also pour hundreds of thousands of dollars every year into the election campaigns of governors, state legislators, and judges. And a report by the National Institute on Money and State Politics revealed that between 2003 and 2011, the CCA alone hired 199 lobbyists in 32 states, while GEO hired 72 lobbyists in 17 states. Worryingly, private prisons in America have been linked to numerous cases of violence and poor conditions. This CCTV video shows a brutal beating of 24-year-old Hani Elabez by another inmate at the CCA-run Idaho Correctional Center in January 2010. Elabez was left with permanent brain damage from the attack and later died in 2012, though it was unclear whether his death was related to the injuries he sustained in prison. Following the attack on Elabez, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit against the CCA on behalf of a number of inmates at the center. The inmates claimed that violence at the center was so widespread that they called it Gladiator School, and that understaffing and mismanagement by CCA officials was contributing to the violence rate. The CCA denied these claims, but agreed to a settlement in which they were instructed to carry out operational changes and increase staffing levels. However, more than 2 years later, in September 2013, a federal judge found the CCA in contempt of court for violating the settlement. And then the following month, the CCA announced that it would be leaving Idaho. The ACLU has also filed a lawsuit against the state of Mississippi over conditions at the East Mississippi Correctional Facility. Donald Weeks is a former prisoner at the facility, which was run by GEO until July 2012 and is now run by MTC.
It was run by GEO the first 2 months that I was there. It was dirty, nasty, unsanitary conditions. I mean, people get stabbed in there, they're bleeding, or they get in a fight and they're bleeding. They don't give no cleaning chemicals to clean the place up or nothing. The sewer kept backing up in the zones. The toilets kept stopping up. Stench was so bad in there, I couldn't eat anymore.
A spokesperson for MTC says that conditions have significantly improved since the company took over from GEO, but the ACLU disputes this. This track record is all the more worrying because many of those in private prisons are some of the most vulnerable people in the system. Nearly 40% of all detained juveniles are committed to private facilities, while nearly half of all immigrant detainees are now held by private companies. And to be clear, most immigrant detainees are being held while waiting to have their cases decided in court, not serving time for a crime they've been convicted of committing. In 2012, a federal judge transferred all prisoners out of the formerly GEO-managed Walnut Grove Youth Correctional Facility in Mississippi after finding it to be a picture of such horror as should be unrealized anywhere in the civilized world. Prison staff had sex with imprisoned youths in what investigators called among the worst we've seen in any facility in the nation. According to GEO, the abuses documented occurred before the company had taken over Walnut Grove in late 2010, but this is disputed by the US Justice Department. This map, produced by the ACLU following a Freedom of Information request, also shows allegations of sexual abuse of detainees since 2007 at immigration detention facilities across the US. In total, there have been nearly 200 reports of sexual abuse during this time, but the ACLU believes that this is just the tip of the iceberg and that many other cases have gone unreported. Unfortunately for the private prison companies, however, crime rates in the US have actually been on the decrease for the past decades, and so they've been resorting to more aggressive tactics to make money. A 2013 report from the In the Public Interest Resource Center revealed that some companies have been signing contracts with states that contain clauses guaranteeing high prison occupancy rates. Some contracts require 90 to 100% occupancy. This means that if the private prisons in question aren't filled to the agreed capacity, then either the state has to find more people to put in those prisons or pay the companies for the unused beds. And three companies in Pennsylvania even resorted to bribing officials to get beds in their facilities filled. In August 2011, former Lutheran County Judge Mark Civarella Jr. was sentenced to 28 years in prison after sending children to detention centers owned by these companies in return for illegal payments amounting to millions of dollars. Some of those he sentenced were as young as 10 years old. And now, campaign groups like the ACLU and Brave New Foundation say that private prison companies could be set to profit from federal immigration reform. The U.S. House Judiciary Committee has passed the SAFE Act, which, if turned into law, would turn millions of undocumented immigrants into criminals overnight and make not having papers punishable by months or even years in U.S. prisons. But if business starts to go bad for the private prison companies in the U.S., then there's always the rest of the world. The U.K. currently has a 106% prison occupancy rate, creating an opportunity for private prison companies to jump in as they did in the U.S. in the 1980s, while Australia's controversial immigration detention system is now operated entirely by private companies. And last year, GEO saw 14% of its revenues coming from international contracts.
That's it.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I never heard of GEO before, that other company either.
CCA? Yeah, they've been around a while. Cloud Nation put a link in there, too. A minute ago. I appreciate that, man. That's a real good one.
you have to scroll back to get to it, but it's the prison industrial complex by its predatory and growing. But that's what it is. They're locking people up for money. They're making deals. Because you lock this person, we'll kick you a little money. It's all about a big money game. Judges are bankers. They're not judges. They're bankers. That's what they are.
Yeah, but they're looking for themselves, just like those two judges that they had with the scandal with the kids, where they were sentencing.
Right.
They had an interest in the jail, and they were sentencing, putting kids in there for extended periods of time just so they could make money, commissions.
Right, that's right. What they did is the corporation told the judge, here, man, you give me these bunch, fill my beds, you know what I'm saying, and I'll give you a little slice under the table, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it caught up with them, you know. But that's going on more than you think. It's at a much bigger level, too. Not just juveniles. It's here, too, in this bullshit system. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like here, they built a new courthouse and jail here in the county I live in. And they built this thing fortified. I mean, it's the max unit. They wanted to house federal prisoners. But here's the problem. Federal prisons have to have an outside yard. This one don't have it. This county jail does not have an inside yard. It's like a military blasted building. That's what it looks like. It looks like a massive armory. Yeah, that's what it looks like. So, you know, crazy, ain't it? It's turned into a big money game. I mean, like you just said, you know, more people in prison than anywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
Now, that's where I had to have the fun, the hard part, and the funny part of it is where this is a free society. We're free here. How in the fuck do we be free? We're not free whatsoever. We got to constantly be watching every little thing we do. You know, and it cracks me up. People, well, I never break the law. I've never been, never been arrested, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, they run into a little jam of cops. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They pick up a traffic ticket or a speed ticket. Damn son of a bitch. Blah, 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 blah. Then they bitch. But it's too late then. And also, the jail system, the way a lot of these jail systems work, they are not to rehabilitate you. They are not rehabilitating you all. They're one, they're punishing you. And of unreasonable manners, as I say, but they are completely being sadistic about it. How are you being educated? Is there a program inside of the jail to help these people out? No. The majority of no. Even the prison system, yeah, they have certain programs, but not enough to get you into par to get out unless you're a minimum security prison. And they have a college close by, like a work release program, something like that. You can do that, but that's a very small percentage of people. Rehabilitation. The only way a person can rehabilitate yourself is if they do it their own self. And the other part of it is, you know, there's a lot of repeat offenders, and the thing like California, the three strikes you're out thing, where a guy gets busted stealing a candy bar, and it's his third strike, and the fucker got life bar. Stole a Kit Kat bar. Third strike. Considered a robbery from a convenience store. And the man was just hungry. You know? He got life in prison. Three strikes are out. It turns into a fucking baseball game. Wow. But I don't, this pressure cooker we live in is coming to an abrupt end. I just see it coming quick, man. I'm just seeing people getting really tight. And I just noticed, at the courthouse, people are just mad as fuck.
It's one industry I don't want anything to do with it. I don't even like the idea of even walking into a court. It just creeps the shit out of me. I mean,
kind of scary, isn't it?
It is. I had a couple of years ago, several years ago, I had a summons that I was sent, and one of my neighbors complained that I had too many Army vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go to court in front of the judge. And,
mm-hmm.
And he said, are they registered? I said, yes. They're all insured? I said, yes. They're collector's items. And he said, and I don't see an issue where who gives anyone, no one has the right to decide that if all your vehicles are painted army green or camouflage, there's no law against that, and they have no right to complain about that. And so he said, this is dismissed.
Yeah, right. But see what I'm saying? If it's a prosecutor doing it, a neighbor complained?
Yeah.
A neighbor complaint thing, city bullshit.
Yep.
So you go to city court, little municipal,
whatever
the fuck you call them.
Yeah. It was an irregular court, but it was quick. I had to wait,
right.
And they called me up.
Right.
But it was insane. I mean, the guy complained. It wasn't just about the vehicles. He also complained that, well, I've got a field piece, a World War II 40-millimeter anti-tank gun hooked up to one of my vehicles. It's deactivated. 1942. It's a World War II. It's, I mean, you know, the veterans group, they borrow it. They use it for parades and whatever. No big deal.
Right.
This guy was a liberal, and he said that that gun was intimidating his customers and stopping them from spending money in his store.
So he was a hater.
Yes.
You know the fuck he was. Just a hater.
But you know, I mean, even at the time, even I was
himself.
A liberal. And he brought it up in front of the town council meeting, and even the mayor was a liberal and said, that's an artifact. It's World War II. How is that intimidating anybody? And it's legal.
Right.
It's hooked up legally to a vehicle, and it's towable. And what's the issue here? And so that didn't come up in court. It was the fact the other military vehicles, I guess they were intimidating him. You know, but the court, luckily, the judge just went, no, this is not an issue. Next.
But,
I mean,
yeah,
people are whacked. I mean,
it's Mickey Mouse shit. That's what I'm saying.
Mickey Mouse shit. It really is. But
yeah, right.
That's how people can be. They can be petty like that, and they can...
Right. You know... I seen one case where these people just bought a house, and you know they knew where the property line was, and this woman, they put a privacy fence. They're gonna put a swimming pool in. So they put this company come out, put this privacy fence in. The lady next door filed a complaint against them for what that the privacy fence to block their view. So they blocked their view.
Once they get your hands on, their claws on you, and you're in the system, holy shit! Yeah, I mean, if it's something serious, you're in a world of hurt.
Oh yeah, right. You are.
And with the legalese and everything else, I mean, you're sitting there. It's almost as if you're just watching it, and in some cases, you don't even understand what they're citing, what courts, nothing. You have no idea what's even going around, what they're doing to your life.
Right.
Helpless. I mean, picture some of the kids that are brought into the system. You think they understand some of the legal terminology?
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole point of this show tonight. Is where's the fucking fairness? You know,
no, there isn't any.
Where's the rightness? There's
not. It's a different language. It's a different...
Right.
With their own rules, and they create the rules.
The most utmost of extortion in the ugliest way. You know what I mean? This is the most major thing people don't get. Because it is confusing. That's right. You're just like you walk into a different fucking planet when you walk through a courtroom anymore. You know? That's what it seems like. You walk into another planet. They start talking the legalese shit, right? And, the best thing you say is, I don't understand a damn thing you're saying. I don't know what the hell that is. What does that mean? What is the definition of it? No, that don't make no sense. I don't get that. I don't understand these words. I mean, you got to do that. You have to actually do anything they do, object to it. Anything they say, you got to object to it. I mean, continuously keep objecting. Object. Don't be scared of them. That's what people are. They're fucking, they fear them. Oh, if I see something, this motherfucker, he's going to get mad at me and throw me in prison for the rest of my life. Then he's like, you put the chair, you know? No, that's not the case. Just make sure a lot of people know what you're doing. Like, you got a Facebook page, so like, post what you're doing in good court. Date, time, court was in, what you're going for, you know, shit like that.
I mean, I'm not a Facebook fan, but, you know, that's one way to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Witnesses, man. Witnesses. That's why you can have a camera in your car. Buy a dash cam. They're cheap. You can buy one real cheap. Put in your car. Go on eBay.
Yeah.
Find a dash cam. You know, 20, 30 bucks, man. They pull you over, kick that motherfucker on, let it roll. Gotcha. Because the video's going to be the best witness you're ever going to have. Because you by yourself, you're helpless. Guarantee it. You are helpless. Because a cop, he can have a total bad day, that cop. Or he's a total asshole. Or he might be a nice guy. But you
where's Golf Dogs
like
in Georgia on this? Gunslinger, Golf Dogs, George, where are you guys? I don't hear you guys weighing in on this.
All the mics are open. Golf Dogs ain't in here, I know of.
Maybe he didn't call in.
I don't see any of those hands up. So if you want to get a conversation, put your hand up. Press that number one on your dial. But the prison system is a big scam. The court system is a big, it's a big money pumper. It's a pumping machine, man. But like I said, if we were in common law still, and, you know, like I said, victim damage, fraud, those three things, the courts wouldn't be as jammed up as they are today. You know? They would not be as jammed up as they are. You know, look at them. Look how packed they are. Everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
but you know what? A big thing of it, I mean, I say it all the time, and it comes down to it again. Accountability. If accountability was brought into it, and I don't care whether you say it brought into the court system or politics or anything else, and these people were held accountable for what they're doing. Like, we just had a kid in town here that... Well, he's a man now, but George, you online? Do you remember that guy that was arrested for, he was arrested and he was framed by the police and the prosecutor and everything else, and they ended up finding through DNA or something that, yeah, the guy was right. He was innocent. And they took him out, but I forget how many years the guy served in jail.
25, now, I think I know the case you're talking about.
And they ended up paying him big money.
Yeah, but it took a long time to get the money.
Yeah, but now could you imagine if the prosecutors and the police personally would be held accountable, that they'd be the ones that would have to pay for that money, not the taxpayers. Holy shit. You think any lawyers or anybody else would be quick to go railroading somebody when they know that 10 or 15 years later, they could be the ones paying the bill?
Uh-huh.
They could be the ones going to jail. It was their screw-up, not the taxpayers. They're held accountable.
By the taxpayers are the victim again. See, the vicious circle of it. They're the ones in the middle catching the web of the cash out of the middle of the roll. You know what I mean? How it rolls on, you know, they send it through. If they fuck up, the people they were trying to fuck that fucked them back still have to pay. The taxpayer. You see what I mean? Think about it. They're in the middle. Say it's a big tunnel of a bunch of money spinning around, right? And you are that money. You're eventually going to hit the center. You know, we're going to get some money out of you. You know, so you go through the whole court process. You know, you're found not guilty. Then you're going to sue the state because they're the one, the prosecutors work for the state.
And the taxpayers pay for it.
They work for the company, which is the state, and the state, which sucks the money out of taxpayers, pumps out the money. So you're suing the state and and they don't have no of their own money. They have the taxpayers' money that they stole how much ever at that point and turn around and steal the money from the taxpayers again to give to you after you've been in jail so long after they fucked you the first time. So they don't lose nothing. You know what I mean? So now you're back in the tax system. You're back paying tax. You're still pumping money to them. You're a money pumper to them all the time. But don't stop. Either way. Either you're so-called free and being pumped or you're in prison being pumped. That's the way it works, man. And then if you do get out of prison, you're back to the being pumped system again. You're still being pumped. We're all being pumped constantly. Anytime money is changed or hand, there has to be a tax to it. Does that sound right to you?
No. It's,
But it's, that's the way it fucking is, though. Anytime money changes hands with tax involved.
The whole system, it's one giant parasite that feeds off of everything that's part of it.
Yep, it eats everything around you. Exactly. There you go. Very well spoken. A parasite eating everything around you. Even yourself. Even you. But that's my, you know, that's, you know, like I said, that's why I brought this topic up. I just, you know, thought people would be really interested in hearing this. Me talk about it all week.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about this shit all week. I mean, this guy, mm-hmm. I mean, people need to wake up to this shit. I hate to see people and victims of it. It's a horrible thing, man. But there again, I don't want people actually breaking the law and committing crimes. I mean, don't commit crimes. Don't do that, you know. But you have to understand what crimes are. Now, the problem, that's where the confusion is. People don't know actually what is a crime. You know, they know certain things are crime. You know, if I shot somebody, if I stabbed somebody, if I took somebody's stuff, you know, that'd be a crime, you know. But they know that, you know, which, you know, you've been taught not to go fast, use the signs and everything like that, which is a good thing. That, you know, keeps traffic under control, that's all cool. Make one little error or mistake, you know, it depends on the severity of the mistake when you're driving a vehicle, how much you're going to pay, you know. But here's the point. If you're going too fast, wouldn't it be better if the cop just told you need to slow down, okay? And if you do it again, then I'll fuck with you, you know what I mean? You know, give a person a chance, you know, in case they weren't really paying attention. But that ain't the way it works. They're right to take it right off the bat. Doesn't matter.
I think I was 18, and I was flying down the highway, and I had my aunt with me, and we were late going to a restaurant auction. And I don't even know, I must have been doing 100 or something. I was flying. And
right.
My aunt was even yelling at me, going, "You've got to slow down. You're going too fast." I passed an unmarked car. And the cop turned on the light, and he came after me. He was barreling after me. And I didn't know it. It wasn't marked with a regular, I mean, I was a kid. And back then, they didn't have, like now, they have neon everything and strobes and holy shit, 4th of
right.
July fireworks go off of the cars. It was...
Right.
It was like Telly Savalas with a little globe thing back then. It wasn't a big deal.
Right.
No, I didn't. So anyways, finally I did see it. I did pull over. The guy got out of the car, and as soon as the cop got out of the car, he was yelling from then. He didn't even stop. He walked up to my window screaming at me. And he was screaming at me for, it felt like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, nonstop. And then he said, "Get your ass back down the road and keep it at 55. Do you understand?" It's like,
mm-hmm.
"Yes, sir." And he walked back. He was almost talking to himself when he walked back to the car. Holy shit. No ticket. Didn't ask me a license. He was too busy yelling at me.
Yeah.
I never saw anything like that in my life.
I don't think they even put serve and protect anymore in a car. Anytime
what?
I hear something over a scan, they don't put serve and protect from cars or anywhere that I know of. Serve and protect.
Yeah, I don't
think
so.
But besides that, you know, anytime you hear a police scanner call anymore, the dispatcher will tell a car you have a call for service. On a complaint call, you know, you have a
yeah.
call for service. A call for service.
A service call.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I got a caller sitting in here in the room. I want that in here. It's a block caller. How's it going, caller?
What's up, Ron?
Hey, man. Naj!
Hey, man. What's up, Mike?
Oh, man. Look at this. Naj, I'm getting good at this now. I'm picking out voices. I'm doing all right.
Ah.
And there are voices on the telephone instead of voices in the room. This is a good thing.
Right. I'm just listening to you guys, man, and, you know, this whole prison industrial complex. Yeah, you're right. The whole law system has a big part to play in it, and... something has to be done about it. But I just want to add something that goes on in Georgia, because you guys are bringing up driving. We have something called a super speeder law, to where whatever area you're caught in, they'll add whatever local charges are there, and then there's a $200 state tax on top of whatever ticket you got for super speeding if you meet the criteria for what they call super speeders. So it goes back to what you guys were saying about it being a parasite and it, it just constantly grows, and they figure out new ways to extract money from you, and they just build the system around these corrupt, you know these corrupt ideas and politicians, I guess you could say, ambitions, you know, in order to be seen as tough on crime or tough on this and tough on that, but end of the day, it all comes down to raising revenue, man, and that's what they do, and they raise it out of us. So it's this is crazy, man. And
yeah, it's gotten so massive, and confusing. It's getting to the point where they practically don't know what they're doing anymore.
Right.
Now, when you go in courtroom anymore, everybody's got a laptop or a computer in front of them.
Yeah.
Judge being the judge, you know. The last few court cases I've been in here recently, I never seen the judge's face.
Crazy, man.
He's probably watching porn.
Yeah, and then these things are not accidents. So it's like, okay, they know X amount of jobs have been shipped out overseas, so therefore, okay, we're going to build prisons in this area, and we're going to need at least this amount of bed space because we're going to have a population of people who will not be able to get into the workforce or be a productive member of society.
That's right.
So we got
right.
prisons.
Kill the manufacturing
so it's like,
sector, we'll have more
yeah,
customers.
So the forecasting and calculation of it is what makes it so sick, because it's like, okay, they are basically planning for a failing economy, and what do they do with the so-called unproductive people? And these
right.
are the things that they come up with.
It's slavery. Yeah. Go in prison, turn them into a slave again. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfect. The slave owners.
Yeah, man, it's sick.
People,
like you guys said, once you get into that system, it's so hard to get out because there's so many different angles that you don't know about that are going on. Maybe the prosecutor wants to get in good favor with a judge or a certain clique there, and maybe he's trading you, you know, doing some horse trading and using you to trade for a favor later. And, you know, these are people's lives these people are playing with, man. And these guys just bang that gavel, bam, 6 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not their life, so there's no thought to the consequences of it, but
it
is sick.
Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to pull somebody that I have a friend of mine, and I kept it confidential for about 4 or 5 years. But they work on the inside, and they, you know, sitting, the judge was at their office, sitting there bullshitting with them, and he quoted to them that he enjoyed fucking people's lives up. That's what he said. Enjoyed
Ooh,
fucking people's lives
boy.
Up. So
well,
now,
well,
here's
well.
The problem. I'm getting ready to do something. It's going to be big. This is going to be. This is going to get some attention when I get done doing this. But it ain't just that. You know, there's more to it. There's a lot more to this. But that's how they look at it. They don't care. They enjoy it. Fucking this up. It's like you have a psychotic person. They turn to a psychotic freak once you're on that bench. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
it's also like a sports theme to it, because you got a guy sitting there ringing up stats. I have a 93% conviction rate versus this type of offender. You know what I mean? He's putting that on his resume. So it's like you're not even a person in front of him. You're part of this category. Therefore, he's going to rule in this manner. And what you say in there, what your lawyer says, a lot of times, if that lawyer doesn't have the juice or the pull in there, then it doesn't really matter. So it's sick, man.
Well, I was talking to a young prosecutor one time, and, you know, we were discussing this, you know, about that, you know, the percentage rate, you know, about the convictions and everything like that. And he was having a hard time, you know, getting in a little trouble and shit. He's new at the game, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, you want the secret to be a good prosecutor? Let me give you this little bit of, you know, information on that. He goes, yeah. He goes, but you ain't got a clue. You ain't got a clue what it takes to be a prosecutor. I said, no, I don't. I said, it's the same thing. It's just the opposite side, positive, negative, it's all this. I said, but no. If you want to be a good prosecutor, you have to want to fuck people. That's what you want to do. You want to fuck them over. That's what you want to like. You have to learn to love doing that.
and don't care. So what? Fuck them. Just fuck them over like you're the really badass of the playground. You're the big bad bully. And enjoy fucking people over, and that's how you become a good prosecutor. You know?
Yeah.
And he goes,
do you have ambitions? Do you want to raise up the ladder someday? Hey, well, you're going to need a certain percentage rate.
You have to be good at, you have to be good at fucking people. That's what you got to be good at. And so, you know, he actually looked at me and said, oh, I hate you, man. He goes, you're so right. I said, that's what you got to do. You got to hate society. You become a different person. You become totally different. And he, you know, he did his little thing to that. He walked out and went to private practice. You're right, man. It is ugly.
You know what's going to happen with all the controls and everything? The stronger that they get as time goes on. See, we're the controls that are getting set on us here in this free society that we have in this wonderful system that was created. It's been changing over the years slowly, little by little. If you look at how fast it changed, and the control changed under the National Socialists, under the Nazis. And when he first took power in 1933, in a matter of like 4 or 5 years, everything was clamped down. It was clamped down beyond belief. It happened so fast. And what happened was the people at that point, you had to be part of the system. If you weren't, you were an outcast. The system's going to run out. The American system eventually will run out of victims that it can feed on until it starts going after the regular citizens, the ones who aren't doing anything, and starts looking for new victims. It's going to
happen. That's already
happening. And once that really becomes across the board common, when they, like this thing like in New York where we have the tip line, and that hasn't been used to the extent that a lot of us were afraid of. I don't like the fact that it's there at all. And hopefully...
Mike, give me a second, bro. Mike, give you 1 minute. I'd catch like that. Hey, everybody, if you want to call in, it's 718-508-9813. You got like 2 minutes to get in here because we're getting ready to go into overtime. So if you want to come and hang out with us and listen to the show, or you want to jump into the conversation, you've got really something serious to talk about. But if you're a bullshitter or a troll, don't call us. I'll let you listen, but I want to talk to you. I got time. So anyway, go ahead, Mike. Sorry about that, man. I just want to let everybody know that you can call in. So the number's on top of it. Call it.
I can see where the system will actually implode on itself, and if it keeps going at this rate, little by little, inch by inch over the years, where they keep clamping down and it keeps growing, because I don't see the numbers that they're really dwindling that much for the crime stats, how many people are getting sentenced and everything else. They keep claiming that there are more people in jail than anywhere else in the world, and it seems the number seems to be growing.
Eventually,
it's going to come to a point that this is going to be another thing that could bring people to the streets and say, okay, that's enough. We've had it. So another reason why politicians would like to probably disarm the population in general, that would be a good thing, because eventually if people do get out of control, how are they going to maintain control?
Well, I would say divide and conquer, simply. You make the people who are rising up with weapons or anything like that, you make them the crazy people, you attack them, you tell everybody else everything is okay, and you kind of move on. So, I mean, that's basically their policy. They'll use mass media to make whoever says this is not right into a crazy person.
Yeah,
so,
but if it happens nationwide, and it would happen
nationwide.
Nationwide,
then you're talking about... Do they have the personnel who will side with them? That's the question then.
That's the question. But even then.
Looking at the American character, I believe the people will follow orders rather than join the resistance.
Well,
so
you got to remember one thing.
I'm on that idea.
But you got to remember one thing that you forget. A lot of the police officers and everything and these federal agents now, it's different because they move them around the country. But the state police, local police, and everything else, they're part of these communities. Now, one cop was telling me, do you think I want to get in the middle of a mess when I've got my family and everything living here, and they know where I live?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck no.
Well, but
you think I want to get burned out? I'm not getting my house burned out. Do they have enough federal marshals to put down? They didn't have enough police in Los Angeles to put down the riots with Rodney King.
Well, that's a little different, though, because that happened spur of the moment.
No,
this is what I'm saying. That happened spur of the moment. This is something that they've kind of been awaiting for a long time. You remember during the end of Vietnam War where they brought all those soldiers back because they said just in case of civil unrest, as they called it. So this is kind of something that they've kind of set up for. So I feel you. There are going to be some police officers who say, I side with the people. But there are going to be some who say, I like my check. So
it's
a scary thing, bro.
Yeah, but even National Guard, a lot of these guys they live in the state, they're part of our neighborhoods and everything else, they live around here. They're not the average person, they think of them as some sort of evil villain that wouldn't react and they would just blindly follow orders. They're not going to follow an illegal order. They're not going to open fire.
You ever see that test that professor did with shocking people to where they had citizens shock people to see how far they would go as far as pain threshold when they seen the other person in pain. I hope you're right on this, Mike, but I seriously think people are more likely to follow orders than they would join the resistance, because resistance is always a little harder, a little tougher, and siding with the state is always more secure.
But I
hope you're right, bro. I hope you're
right. The worst warfare you could get into in the military, the biggest thing you want to avoid is suburban. Is anything in that's the worst, because it doesn't matter. You can go in with 500,000 soldiers. Look at how Stalingrad dragged out.
Well, that's why Iraq is taking so long, because
you're not fighting
a standing army. You're fighting
and they
people
know that.
Who are crouching, hiding, you know, ducking and sniping at you.
They know that, and they don't want that. So
I agree.
It would not end well. I mean, just like that movie, The Battle for Athens. There are local armories, there are local supplies and everything else. Overnight, within hours.
This is the biggest part. Oh, go ahead, Ron.
The biggest problem is that y'all fucking talk too much. This is what y'all do. Y'all talk too fucking much now. I'm gonna give y'all a little conquest. Listen to this now. Guess who?
That Michael Hood I'm hearing.
Yeah,
is that Michael Hood?
That is.
It's Michael Hood. Y'all gotta listen to me now.
How do you come in the way you did? Why not just jump into the conversation? Why you gotta knock all up?
I'm jumping. You know what y'all do? Y'all on Blog Talk Radio every night of the day. Y'all on Blog Talk Radio every day.
Mike, you are on here way more than I am. What are you talking about?
No, I ain't. I'm at the beach. I'm at the beach right now. I got a suite right now.
You're on
the Blog
Talk way more than me, bro.
Wait. You got a honey with you.
Nah, I'm at a beach right now, Nah. I'm at the beach with my woman right now at a beach.
That has nothing to do with you being
like
on Blog
I said,
Talk
you're at the beach with your honey, and you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Exactly.
You fucking nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Okay, so y'all gonna talk?
Well, go ahead, make your point though, Hood. Make your point though, Hood. But don't knock it.
Yeah,
just have a conversation.
We gotta roll my windows up. I gotta roll my. I'm sorry, Ron. I gotta handle this real quick, Ron. Because if you look what happened to the fucking flight that went down. If you look at the flight that went down, Ukraine and America is the one that made this flight go down. And now they're blaming it on Russia. They're blaming the progress of this plane going down on Russia.
Mike, that's good, but we were on the freeway headed in one direction.
No, no,
You're trying to take us off on an exit here.
Hold up, Nas.
Michael Hood.
No, go ahead, correct me.
Michael Hood, listen to me.
Okay, you're not proof.
We're talking about
y'all,
one
y'all,
thing,
y'all,
you're
y'all,
taking us in a whole different direction.
Yeah, we weren't even discussing airplanes. We didn't talk about aliens or anything.
We were talking about civil unrest.
Yeah, civil unrest.
What is the civil unrest? What are you talking about? What civil unrest?
When you don't have the correct pillow and a good mattress, that's civil unrest. You can't sleep at night.
Excuse me a minute, guys. Excuse me just one second.
What?
Michael Hood, you have been found guilty of over talking on my show. You are being sentenced to 5 minutes in the quiet room. So you're muted. Okay, yeah, he went way off topic. It's on
something. Yeah, Hood, when you come back in, just have a conversation with us, man. You don't have to knock us as damn agents or whatever else you were going to call us, man. We're just talking.
No, just talking about attitudes that are out there, Mike, and how people are getting pissed. And if it gets pissed to the point that people don't, and we're seeing it, they don't trust the court system, they don't trust the politicians, they don't trust, people are starting not to trust, period. An article came out yesterday that says that 2/3 of the people in New York State don't trust the legislature in the state.
When
does that ever happen? 2/3. And that's what they're admitting to. I bet it's a higher number than that.
But people, that's the thing is, people are waking up. That's, you know, not like you're saying, you know, people will follow suit with the state type thing. I don't know. That's going to be, here's the funny part. Because wonder if the people that are running the state start to back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a question,
they
too.
Take the fuck off.
You know what? You know what the Germans used to have?
It was
a running joke with the German soldiers that whenever there was a retreat going on from a major city, the Nazi political officers always wore a weird, it was like a mustard brown color and with all gold insignia and everything and very fancy. And what they do is the soldiers would always see them loading up their cars and with furniture, art, everything else, and booking it, hightailing it out of town, driving through the lines. And the soldiers saying was, look, the pheasants are running. They called them pheasants because of all the gold and the brown and all the insignia. And the politicians and the ones that were making the laws were the first ones to beat feet.
Yeah.
They were always the first ones because they did not want to face the wrath of what was coming down.
Right.
You know, so human survival and nature comes first. And when you're thinking about it, you say...
There's going to be some who switch sides. I agree on that, too.
Like
I said, we're all just throwing out what we think could happen, so who knows.
Yep.
But I just want to throw another story out that kind of links what we were talking about earlier. There was a case in Detroit to where a police officer threatened a suspect and said, look, man, you're going to be tried near Dearborn, and it's going to be an all-white jury, and da-da-da-da-da. So he threatened the guy with the prospects of what the jury could do. You know, that's against the law, so the officer was brought up on charges. But just think about what he was actually doing. He was actually giving that guy reality and saying, look, this system is rigged, and you can take the trial if you want, but you're going to lose. So, I mean, that cop was just being honest. So we have a system that broken, that corrupt, to where they're not fixing it. They're just attacking the officer for stating what is actually reality. Like, how scary is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. But people are starting to wake up to this bullshit. That's what I'm saying, man. Like I said...
So if a cop in East St. Louis stopped Ron tonight, and he said, look, you're in a different area, man. This is not where you're from, Ron. The jury pool is most likely to be black and from East St. Louis. They're going to rule against you, so you better sign. You better take this deal I'm giving. Like, think about that, man.
Right.
Like, how damn corrupt
is
this shit?
Right, it is. That is the way it is. Like I was saying earlier in the show, you know, I brought the fact is the majority of 10 men in prison are black young males between the age of 18 to 35. Majority of the people in prison in this country.
Yeah. That goes back to what I was talking about. If you can't employ them, you might as well imprison them so you can make some money off them. So it goes back to that.
Right.
But traveling up to where Hood was talking about, he was saying that we did that, we shot that plane down. I mean, he can say that, but I don't know for sure. Because there is some, Putin would give weapons to some irresponsible people over there who might have overstepped their bounds and shot down a plane. I mean, that could happen.
My opinion on that deal, on that airplane deal, okay, look, I feel it was a tragedy, it was a horrible thing to happen, okay, but it wasn't here. As long as we had Norman Baumann with us, I don't give a shit what they do over there. You know what I mean? Let them blow each other up, and once whoever wins, cool. All right, you're the winner.
And how the hell does an airline get so broke that they're willing to travel over a war-torn area? How the hell do you route a plane over a war zone? Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, that was the closest midair 7-Eleven for fuel.
Man, look.
Yeah, man.
If I pay for a plane ticket, I'm taking the assumption that you know war-torn areas are not good to fly over. Like you,
right.
you're making, you're rerouting, or you're doing something different because you know the terrain has changed. Hell, we can't fly
right.
over there. Things are happening. Like what right. the? Like how the hell does that happen? So I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I want to hear what
well,
he has to say.
Like Iggy Mon said, there were 23 Americans that were on that plane.
Yep.
I know that I knew there were some researchers. I didn't know there were 23 of them. Unless all the researchers weren't the AIDS researchers
I thought
weren't Americans.
There was
Americans.
Only one American on it. I thought there was one at the beginning. First
She's
first
saying
one.
There were 23 Americans on that. I didn't hear there were 23.
That's what I read. I read 23.
Of Americans on that?
I'm not sure.
No, if that's if there were 23, then we have an interest to find out who and get to the bottom line. But, I mean, it's something that we're going to send troops over there with. I doubt it.
No.
That's
not
going to happen.
It's
not
going to be a World War III. And,
no.
And then this is another thing I want to put out there.
This isn't Lusitania.
People keep thinking this is Russia of the 1980s, Cold War era Russia. No, that... They are way down on the totem pole for what they used to be. The fact that
yeah.
we can put sanctions on Russia should tell you that they are not the former big bear that they used to be. And, you know, that look, put it like this. We won't put sanctions on China. I promise you that. You know?
But I think we owe
no.
them too much money.
That's some more stuff.
You're all going to die
well, they're
at
world
the
power.
Plague.
That's
You're
what I'm saying.
Die
they're
at
world
the plague.
Power.
That's how it's going to be done.
Yeah.
You're going to die of the plague.
The great Jew. What's up, Jew?
They're going to bring it across the border. They're doing it right now. The government is allowing it to happen. You're going to, that's what they bought all those caskets for, those nice plastic caskets. They can put four people in them. Nice plastic things like Ziploc baggies and just drop you in the ground somewhere in a big hole.
Yeah, but Jew, isn't that just what happens when you have refugee people coming from a third world country to a first world country? There are going to be diseases that they bring with them.
And they're
going
to let the diseases
think
kill
overplayed.
You. They're going to let the diseases kill you. They need to cull their herd.
Yeah, but why would they kill you when they could always set us up for new shots, antibiotics, and everything
because
else that you have
they
to pay
don't
for.
Want to, because they want to kill you, because they want to make your numbers lower so they can control you.
Mm.
There's too many of you. They're not going to be able to control you, will they?
Well, that's another angle. I don't know.
And there's too many of you. Oh, Naj, I didn't mean smart black people like you. I just meant too many of you in general.
The Jew with the backhanded compliment as usual.
Shit.
Go
now,
ahead.
Now listen, if they could get rid of stupid people, I'm all for stupid people plague. I'm covered.
Dude, do you realize what this economy will become without stupid people? Like, I put up a story earlier about A&W fast food company. They were selling one-third pound burgers, and Americans bought quarter-pounder burgers because they thought quarter-pounders were bigger than one-third pound burgers. Like, you need stupid
you
people to fuel
it,
economies, man. You can't get
you
rid
must
of all
not
stupid
eat at the, You don't eat at the fat bastard place that I eat at. Where they have one-pound hamburgers. I believe that Michael Hood has been in purgatory for more than 5 minutes. I'm a hater. Punisher.
Oh, Ron, come on, Ron.
I'm in a prosecutional mood now to be a prosecutor.
See what happens when you give people that power, that prosecutor power? See what happens?
That's what I'm saying.
Look at
all
this.
Fucking weird on people, you know? Just be evil to them.
Yeah,
like
we, need
Hood, up, man.
We need to hear Hood's side on this,
up.
Though. I'm sure Hood has a different idea about the plane.
Yeah.
Hood's
nah,
a bit crazy.
He split, man. He left. He hung up. He's gone.
I wanted to hear the girlfriend.
Mike, call back.
I wanted to hear a female voice.
Oh, well.
Of course, I could have done Granny for him. That would have worked. I do a mean Granny.
Man, leave Granny alone, man. She's
he's
good.
He's calling me back on my phone. I'm not talking to her about that.
In fact, it's a pretty good Granny. Even Granny had to call in and say, that's not me. Now, Mike, I always get you confused with that other guy that, what's his name?
George?
George, that's the one. Yeah. I don't like
him.
But I think I like you. You're all right. I think we can work with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for that.
I don't think we can work with George. I think George is going to
well,
be
George is a great guy, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. We can agree to disagree. But let me tell you what to look up, because I sent this out to just about. Who's got all the background noise? You're making me crazy with that.
I've got an air conditioner on.
That's the noise?
Yeah.
What are you, right in front of it? Must be really hot.
No, it's not directly in front of it, but it's. I'm in a restaurant. I've got big ovens working. You know, we have the ovens. We use the big deck ovens. A lot of temperature. You understand?
I'm sorry. You want to do Indian? I can do Indian. If you would like. If you would like to do Indian, I can make a very good curry.
No, but no, it's the air conditioner. It's pretty humid back here in New York. It's hot and humid.
I'm in Philadelphia. It's kind of humid here, but I got air conditioning around it too.
Oh.
Now, I'm looking for the video. I'm just going to look at my history. I'm going to tell you what to look up. Here you go. This is what you look up. I couldn't post it in the chat room for obvious reasons. Zach Taylor interview. So if you put it in Zach
Taylor.
Yeah,
we good,
Ron.
We good.
All right, Michael Hood. You be good for a second because I'm busy. If you look up Zach Taylor.
Here, I'll tell you what. I've got the link right here because I was watching it earlier. I'm going to put it in
right.
The chat room right now.
Good thing.
There you go. That's it,
in,
right there.
I can't get into the chat room in my present. Anyway, you watch that all the way through. It's 15 minutes, and I think you should be very scared after
Zach Taylor?
He was an immigration officer. He was a captain, and he retired, and he's the chairman of the retired immigration officer, something Border Protection Organization. Very good guy, well-spoken, and it was an interview with him, and he outlines what's going on down there on the border right now and how the government, with the government's role in it. I heard another interview, I think it was with him also, where he mentioned... I think it was him. They mentioned one day they went onto a ranch and there were illegals that were flooding onto this ranch. And the next day they went back, and miraculously, all of a sudden, the federal government had been there before they got there and set up a refreshment watering station for them with instructions written in different languages, including Mandarin. And he said, there's a total disconnect. You mean to tell me that they can't support us, they won't give us ammunition or anything else, they're telling us our next shipment of ammo is supposed to come out next year, 2015, and yet they had the money already set aside to make up these units, these stations that they can put out in the desert to make sure these illegals make it across and get water?
Yeah, he still doesn't get it, man. I honestly think he's doing his job and wants to see, you know, the borders controlled. But he still doesn't get that we're bringing low-wage workers up here. That's what we do, man. That's what we do.
Well, he's admitting that the government's behind it. He's admitting that the government's behind it.
That's what we do.
If you can, copy that link. Like Drew said, it was a very, very good video. It was. It's interesting to see it. It's a different perspective than what you're going to get off. You never get it off that news. No. But there are a couple of interviews
that
have come in, too.
Okay, I'll check it out, man.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When you say Naj, he's trying to do the border, who's he?
Well, the guy you were talking about. The guy you were saying who's dedicated to this and kind of, you know, has decided that this is something he's willing to fight for and all of that. He still doesn't get that the people here want low-wage workers here. And by the people here, I mean the elite who control this country and decide what's what.
I think his complaint was that he knows the government's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you could see the contempt. You can hear it in his voice. And he's telling people, basically, you better wake up. Because this is going on, you're being misled.
Mm-hmm.
And he even talks about the illnesses and everything else. He said, these people are coming and they're going to school with your kids. They haven't been checked. And, you know, it's a good interview. He covered a lot of different bases on it.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to watch what Obama does as far as, you know, as he's winding down to get out of office, what he does with this. My take is he does nothing, kind of kicks the can. The next guy kicks the can the same because they don't want to stop the low-income workers from coming up here because their business interests are conflicted with it. So they want it to continue. But, I mean, this is crazy. I agree. So I understand people on the right when they talk about people coming over the border, the diseases and everything else, and just the idea that they're coming over illegally. I understand it. But until there's actually, you know, huge penalties for people for hiring them, huge penalties for people for renting them homes and things like that, then it's going to continue to happen because they want it to happen. That's what I'm saying.
What happened? Did we lose Ron?
No, I'm sorry. I was muted out for a second.
Oh.
Sorry about that, guys. We have Jew on,
and he has some experience as a pilot. What's your take on the plane, Jew? And the Jew is gone.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. What's your take on the plane, man?
Unless you can't hear nothing no more.
Is he there? I heard
him.
I thought
he's gone.
Yeah, his mic's on. He's hot.
Oh.
He's on the air.
Well, Mike, maybe you should ask him. He doesn't want to answer my question. Maybe if you ask him the question, he'll answer.
You're too smart for him, Nosh.
Not at all.
Go ahead and tell me what your question is, Nas.
Yeah, well, Hood, we didn't hear your perspective on the plane.
Hey, Hood.
Man, so go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Mike, man? What's going on, Mike?
What you doing? Mike
know me.
Yep.
I gotta roll my windows up now. I'm riding my car now. I'm riding my Bentley. I gotta pull it up now. All right. Now, what'd you say?
Oh yeah. So you wanted to talk about the plane when you came on early and started insulting us. Just go ahead and tell us about the plane without insulting us, man.
He's talking about the plane. Well, you know what? You know what happened to that plane? The Ukrainians that won that shot down that plane. It wasn't Russia at all. Now you got the Western media that's blowing it up and saying that it was Russia that shot that plane down, but it wasn't. It was Ukrainians that shot the plane down.
Ukrainian rebels. But where did they get the weapons from, though? The Ukrainian rebels, right. Where did they get the weapons from?
You know what? It was a lie. They got it from America. America the one that set it up. Because I don't put it on my Twitter page. If you go to my Twitter page, it shows you in 2008 that Obama had and Russia had made a damn article that's showing that Danny Khalid, whatever the Khalid is, in Ukrainian at the border bound down by the ocean. Is that Obama said, and everybody that they'll say that Obama was starting it all to start World War III. They had to go ahead and take Ukrainians and start World War III. So right
whoa,
now,
whoa, whoa, whoa,
with
whoa,
this
whoa, 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 Hood, you're gonna put your reputation on the line I'm asking about the last part. You gonna put your rep on the line and say World War III is coming?
Because
I disagree.
World War III will start with damn Ukraine. Ukrainians. It will start with them. It will start with them. It ain't no 100 years from now would you say, No, it will start with them. And the lie was they're saying that the Russians attacked Malaysia Flight 17, and that was a lie. Russia never attacked that. It was damn Ukraine that shot it down. Ukraine shot that plane down.
Yo, I'm not going to play like I know for sure. I'm just giving you my best guess. So I don't know.
I'll tell you what I know. I know half of it. I'm telling you right now, Ukraine shot that plane down. Ukraine shot that Malaysia Flight 17 down. It wasn't Russia. It was Ukraine and America and NATO. NATO and all them shot that down because what they're doing is trying to shot out the dollar. They don't want the
Why
dollar
to
fall.
Why are you yelling, Michael Hood?
Yeah, Mike, calm down.
Stop
you don't have to yell. We're all on the same page. Otherwise, it sounds like that other BTR radio show where everybody's screaming at each other at the same time.
You mean the V-Cube show?
There was another show that I was on. Again, it sounded like there were 15 people all yelling at the same time. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that's the V-Cube show. It sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But y'all understand that it was Ukrainians that shot that plane down. Ukraine shot that plane down. It wasn't Russia that shot that plane down. It was Ukraine. Ukraine shot that plane down. Not Russia, not the separatists, and not the pro-Russians.
You say Ukraine one more time.
It was Ukraine.
You say Ukraine one more time. I'm coming to the telephone and I'm going to grab you by the throat.
No. But yeah, but Mike, that's the story in mass media though that Ukrainian rebels shot it down. So that's not anything different though. What you're saying right now, you're saying the Americans aided them in doing it. Most people are saying the Russians are who gave them the weapons to do it. But everybody is saying that it was the rebels.
I don't know. Ukraine rebel leader confirms Russian separatists did have. This is out of the UK. And the Daily Mail. It came out 11 hours ago. Let me get the link. So apparently now the Brits are looking for any quotes they can get.
Good old Europe refused to put in sanctions today because they want that natural gas and oil.
They don't want any problems. They don't want anything affecting that pipeline. Any of the.
Now that's
any
funny.
Yeah. And also the Ukrainians also had two of their own jets shot down today. You saw that, right?
No, I didn't.
Yep. Two Ukrainian military jets were shot down over rebel-held area. Now, the question that I want to know is, what shot them down? Did the separatists have pilots?
It was a separatist. It was the damn Russian. It was the Ukrainian rebels. That's the one that shot it down. It wasn't the Russians. The Russians never shot that plane down.
Well, you
it
kept saying Ukrainians
Russians.
Shot
it Ukrainians.
Down.
Ukrainians.
No, the Ukrainian separatists. That's different than Ukraine.
Because of America. Because of NATO. The NATO and America are the ones that shot that motherfucking plane down. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Russia never shot nothing down. And
see,
now
the separatists,
you
the separatists want to join with Russia. Mike, you know the separatists want to become. You know they want to become one with Russia. Right?
Yeah.
So,
but now, why are you blaming Russia? Why do you think
the Russians have been supplying them with whatever they didn't even capture from areas that they took over, from whatever Ukrainian equipment they didn't pick up. Here, here's the link right here.
The BUK, you know what BUK is?
The missile system, right.
Where it came from? It came from Ukraine. Ukraine, the ones that set that shit up. The Ukraine had the missiles already set up. And now look today. Today, you had two fucking SU-35 fucking planes that got shot down. Well, where the fighter plane got shot down at?
Michael.
Tell me where the fighter plane got shot down
at. Michael Hood, I have had a long evening of trolling and annoying people. I need a little fresh time.
Jew, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Why are you so slow tonight? Damn.
Slow,
man.
Slow in what way?
You're slow.
No, but y'all tell me. The controls are a lot faster. I'm drinking.
Here's another thing, though.
No, but you tell me who were the fucking two fighter jets that got shot down today, yesterday. Two fighter jets got down, S-224s?
I put the link up.
That got shot.
Michael Hood, you are not allowed to say the word fucking again in this conversation.
Oh, man.
Do you know me, Jim? Man, come on now.
I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah.
Come on. I made myself a nice espresso. I poured some.
But who shot the plane down now? Who shot the plane
nice
down today? Now, somebody shot
the link.
Some plane down today.
You got a link right there.
We don't know. All we're doing is giving our best guess. And I got to say this, though, too.
You know what?
If we're talking about rebels.
That's fucking stupid.
Okay, well, go ahead, man.
Now, you know what? You're actually stupid. Now, who the fuck put the white flag on fucking Brooklyn
Hold
Bridge?
On.
Who put
All
the two white flags on Brooklyn Bridge
fuck
now?
And fucking.
Who put the white
allowed.
Flag on Brooklyn Bridge now?
Number one,
Mike,
don't yell. Number one, they weren't white. Do you know what those flags were? Take a good close look at them. They're American flags that have been bleached out.
Okay, so why did he bleach them out?
They bleached them out, and the cops over here, they're trying to decide if that was a statement. What were they doing with that? Why did they bleach out the stars and bars? And you know what I mean? They're thinking maybe it was a statement. They don't know. But if you take a good close look at it.
What is a statement? What is a statement, Mike?
I have no idea. The cops are trying to figure it out. I'm sure they might have a lead on it. I don't know why you do that.
You know what the guys did? The guys took tinfoil and go ahead and took the tinfoil on the lights and took the tinfoil on the cameras and put tinfoil on them and go ahead and took the tinfoil on them and no one knew about the tinfoil that they put on. And they go ahead and they did it at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And now some of the comments that we've heard back here in New York, people are starting to say, if kids could do that, you're saying at first that it could have been like a prank.
Now, what happens if
there's a terrorist that wants to do some sort of harm?
I'm going to tell you what it means, Mike. This is what it means, Mike. That Brooklyn Bridge will be destroyed. If you go back to them, the Night Rising, you go to Batman, if you go to Batman and you go to damn Tom Cruise, he's talking about, I forgot the name, the movie Tom Cruise, it's showing you that fucking bridge will be destroyed.
You are causing,
And I told you about the fucking plane. I told you that this plane I told you about 375 months ago. When 370 got caught up in the Indian Ocean.
Hood, you
got to
prove that. I don't remember you telling us anything about
that. Russia or Ukraine would use that damn fucking plane for
damn
political purposes.
Quiet, right?
And now you have the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge will be destroyed. You're going to have the Brooklyn Bridge be destroyed.
Mike, if that doesn't happen, will you admit that you were wrong?
What you're saying doesn't make sense.
No, I'm asking you a simple question.
You're trying to be political, but you don't know what the political aspect of what it is.
I'm asking you a simple question.
Think about your heart.
I was asking you a simple question. Okay. If that doesn't happen, will you admit that you were wrong?
Who the hell goes make a fucking flag and take a flag off the Brooklyn Bridge at the midnight now? You take a Brooklyn Bridge flag and you fucking put a white flag on a fucking Brooklyn Bridge. What does that tell you?
I don't know.
I'm Blog Talk Radio.
Off with his head now. The arteries in my neck are pulsating.
Come on now. Wake the fuck up. Why would somebody go around and in the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning go
be
make
drunk.
A fucking flag on the Brooklyn fucking
hood.
On the bridge? Who would make a fucking flag? Who would do that?
Up with a drunken hood.
Okay, so I guess there's nothing but a drunken motherfuckers on blogs already, so I guess, you know what?
You're just making my neck. It was some drunken motherfuckers that went to the
Brooklyn Bridge, and they put the flag up there, Jew. I guess that's
I don't
true.
Give a
I
shit
everybody...
put it up there, because I'm leaving.
I mean, come on now, that's common sense now. Who the fuck put the flag up there? Who put a fucking white flag on a fucking Brooklyn Bridge?
I don't care. Yeah, who gives a fuck?
No, take it out, who cares?
They found video footage of a few kids,
well,
one of them was holding a...
Ricky was the one that shut the one person down, so what, take another one?
They said they got video footage of a bunch of kids... And one of them had a skateboard. There were a bunch of kids that there are people of interest, they're saying. So.
No. Ain't no fucking kids putting no fucking flag up there.
Oh, that's what the police are saying over here now, too.
He just said the word fuck for the same derivation
like that.
Three times in a sentence. I can't take it. Yeah.
That calls for surrender.
Back in his cage here in a minute. Put him in his cage.
All that stands for is fucking surrender. America has surrendered.
No.
You lost the fucking war. Y'all people have lost the fucking war. You never won nothing. You lost the fucking war. You lost it.
Right.
The Fourth Reich has taken you over. Come on now, the Fourth Reich now. Do you know about the Fourth Reich? The Fourth Reich has taken over
fucking
every fucking
now.
Aspect. The fucking police took over politics. It took about everything. Y'all sitting there like the Fourth Reich didn't do nothing. The Fourth Reich took over everything. That's why.
Well, good night,
that's why the people that put the flag. No, this is why the people put a flag on the fucking Brooklyn Bridge. They put the flag on it to let you know that you fucking lost. Y'all American people have fucking lost the fucking battle. You fucking lost. You fucking lost. You don't have nothing no more. You can fucking talk all fucking goddamn day on a fucking blog talk